So she visits.
What was her name?
Her name is Betty Jean.
Okay.
And Clara and Betty are very, very good friends.
And where does Betty live?
Betty lives in Detroit. Or
so they got to get together.
An area of Detroit.
So when they get together, it's like a day, they have to meet.
She comes up for a week and stays at her cabin. And Clara may go over there and stay 3 days or 4 days, you know.
Now, just for Mr. Recorder, who was Betty Jean's parents?
Father was Edgar.
Oh, okay. Edgar, which is Alvin's brother.
Right.
Okay. Okay. All right.
And they're just real good friends.
Well, it's good. She's keeping and it'd be a cousin.
Mm-hmm. But Betty's had some health problems, and she isn't able to come as much now.
Yeah, well,
aren't we all? And
well, I wanted to find out more about when you were growing up.
Okay.
Were you born in that what city?
Mm-hmm. I was born in what they called it.
Go ahead and sit back and relax.
Clutch, which was between Cumberland and Benham, Kentucky.
No. Do you see those little wavy lines when you're talking? Okay, that just means it's working. So
yeah.
That's good.
So
you were in Kentucky when you were born.
I was in Kentucky. All three of us were the same doctor, Dr. Fields.
Okay.
He did
you related to Fields.
Yes, yes, but not that area, that branch
another
of the Fields.
Okay.
And Dr. Fields.
Were you born in the hospital?
No, I was born at home. We all were.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, was there a midwife too, or just boil the water and get the doctor?
Call the doctor, and he would come by, and sometimes he would have to stay at your home for a day if a lady was
close.
In labor.
It's like attractions, and so it's like, hey.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So Dr. Fields came and stayed for long and delivered the babies. He delivered all of us and all of my family.
Was he an older guy or a young guy?
When he delivered me, he was probably in his 50s.
Okay, so kind of mid.
Wasn't young. And then we went to the hospital, was in Benham, Kentucky, but that was part of the mines.
Okay.
The big store, you've heard, 16 tons, well, it's the same thing. We had the big store, and everybody worked to the mines could go to the big store.
I wondered if they were even paid in, in scrip instead of money, with the idea that the mine gave you everything, the housing, and they gave you the store, and basically they had your whole life.
But what they did is that when you went into the store and you bought something, it was put on your credit.
No.
And all the credits was taken to the paymaster.
Took out of your salary.
And it was taken out of your salary.
Well, payday, you had hardly anything left because you've been spending it, right?
Right.
How about the housing? Was that? Did you ever live in mine-owned housing or not?
I never did live in mine-owned housing, okay. But most of my family did.
Okay.
Most of my family
before you
did.
Came along, that was what they lived, where they lived. So they kind of got out of that for some reason.
Yes. But my grandfather lived up on top of this, we called it up on top because it was on top of a little hill.
Okay.
And he had quite a large house. He only had four rooms, but they were huge rooms.
That was Ollie's?
No, my dad, my mom's.
Oh, that was the other side. Okay. Oh, got it.
My mom's dad, Ferris.
Okay, good.
So Ferris had this big house, only four rooms, but it was big. And his brother, all of his brothers and family lived right there. And he had one sister, Hattie. And I never knew much about Hattie. She was married and kind of lived away from us a little bit, and I never knew much about Hattie, but he had his brothers. Uncle Bruner lived on the next little hill. And
what was his real name?
And that Bruner, as far as I know.
Oh, okay.
And he had cows, and he milked the cows and made butter. And so my mother would send me up to Uncle Brune's. We never did worry about snakes and stuff like that, but there was a lot of snakes. But they aren't just laying on top of each other waiting for you to get by.
You're lucky you had shoes.
Yeah. And my mother would send me to Uncle Brune's, and that's what I called him, Uncle Brune, instead of Bruner.
Okay.
And she would send me up there to get our milk and butter. And so every time I got up there, Uncle Brune would say to me, "Come on in, Joanne." And I'd go in, and he'd say, "Look at that, what I got waiting for you." And they'd have a great big, excuse me, biscuit with butter on one side.
Fresh and, butter, too.
And honey on the other.
Fresh butter, huh?
Yeah. And so he'd say, "I've got this for you, Joanne, but you got to tell me what your grandpa's been doing."
Now, Ferris, where's Ferris here? We got to get Ferris. Ferris is, what family is Ferris again?
Ferris was my mother's dad.
Okay, so William Carl. Oh, okay.
And
so,
see, we grew up mostly, a lot of our growing up was there.
Crossover. Okay, there's Ferris. Okay, now here's, I got a Barney.
Yep.
Is that him?
That's my mother's brother.
Yeah, okay, now who are we talking about? Ferris's?
My mother's dad.
Your mother's dad was Ferris.
Uh-huh.
And who's this guy you were just talking about?
That was Bruner. That was Ferris's brother.
Ah. Bruner. There's Bruner.
Yeah.
1890 to 1973.
Yeah.
He didn't do too bad. All right, there's Bruner. Okay.
I would go up to Uncle Brune's, and he would say to me, "Joanne, look what I got for you." And he'd have this biscuit Jesus. With butter just running off of it, homemade butter, and honey. And he'd put it together, and he'd give it to me. He'd say, "Do you want this?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, tell me what your grandpa's been doing."
Oh, really?
And I said, "Oh, yeah. Well, Seven Hats was up there yesterday, and she and Grandpa went out to the hen house, and they talked for a long time out there." Mm. And I'd make up stories about my grandpa.
Really? So he knew that.
He knew that. And I'd make up stories about my grandpa.
Seven Hats, that's an Indian name.
Seven Hats was a lady that rented a house for my grandfather, and she wore seven hats.
Really?
And so we all call her Seven Hats.
Like all at once or just one?
All at once.
Seven Hats.
Seven Hats stacked on her house head. Needless to say, she was half crazy, dirty, and stinky.
That puts the red hats to shame.
And she would come up there, and so if my grandpa's house was empty, he'd let Seven Hats stay in it. Mm. He had his house, and he had a renter house,
talking
right?
Ferris,
and a renter house up there, and then he had a chicken house, and they took half of the chicken house and made a house out of it. So actually had a house, and then on the back of it, they made a chicken house.
Was he just a farmer?
And he was just a farmer.
But he must have done good.
Well, they owned all the land there. My great-grandfather was the man that
so Ferris is
built this community.
Okay.
John,
okay. John Gillum. And so I'll check to see if he didn't get that from a land grant, because a lot of people, when they settled, they got a land grant.
Yes, and there was a lot. Every one of those brothers had farms.
Really?
Nice farms and a lot of land.
So they were successful.
They sort of just lived off what was given to them. None of them, I don't think, really worked.
Hmm. Really?
None of them had a job that I know of. Maybe Uncle Gomer might have been a CPA or a
county?
Worked with the county some, but as far as I know, none of them had to work.
The women worked their butt off. They did the canning and they did the cooking. And the cooking, you had to go get the wood, and, you know, it was, like, brutal.
Right, right. We had a... They all had wood stoves, and I remember one year the house next to my grandfather's wasn't rented, and so they built a fire in the stoves out there, and all the kids, all the grandchildren, got their Christmas gifts on Christmas, of course. And we got to go out and play in that empty house all day, and because they heated it up. And so if we got dishes, we had dishes in one room with a little table, and we played the girls, and the boys would run their trucks and stuff in one room and make, you know, little hills out of boards and stuff. And we would get to play in the empty house all Christmas Day. As one big group.
Now, when you were born, what was your dad a coal miner then?
When I was born, my dad was a coal miner.
So until he moved to Michigan,
he was a coal miner.
And it looked like from that one town we were at with Willa May, it looked like the shafts are all like vertical. You don't go down or nothing. You just 3 foot high and way into the mountain or something.
And sometimes at a slant once you got there.
But it's a vein.
But you have to watch the slants because it made it harder. If you went down at a slant, it made it harder for you to get the coal cars out loaded.
Because it was, would they lay a track in there? The farther you went, they kept laying more track.
You'd lay more track. And my dad said that when you were back in there, of course, the only light you have is on your head. And I do have my dad's.
You do?
Oh, a light.
God. You should photograph that.
I have that light, and I'll photograph it and send it to you. But his...
Because it's probably a carbide.
It was a carbide lamp.
Oh, my God.
And what they would do is go back in there and light it. My dad said you had to watch kind of careful because you were working back in there with rats, you know. Rats are every place. And he said if you saw that rat start out of that mines, you better get going, because it was coming in.
So he's the canary. He's a canary.
He was a canary, like, because he would, the rats would
run out.
How
did they get air in? Did they blow air in with a pipe or something? How did they?
They did.
So they, like, along the tracks, they must have had, like, a tube or something to pump air in.
Uh-huh. And they would, to get back in there, the mines would load, they had an engine. And they would load maybe 3, 4, 5, maybe 6 cars onto it. Mm. And these cars were flat with just a little ridge on the edges. And they would go back in the mines and they'd go back to the back part and they'd drop off a man and a car.
Oh, jeez.
And then they'd take another little bit and drop off another man and a car.
So they had like little shoots off of
and they'd mine. Or if they happened to hit a cave like in there, then they'd have tracks set maybe together. So the men worked together. But
we spent 8 hours in the middle of a mountain.
Eight hours breathing only what came in through the line, which wasn't at that time very...
And the coal dust.
And the dust.
Now, did he wear a rest? Do you think he would have wore a mask? Or
they
didn't know
they
enough
didn't
to
wear
do
a mask.
Then.
They didn't know enough to wear a mask.
Oh, my God.
And they did not wear a mask. And then they would bring the coal out, and some of the coal is slate, which means the quality isn't up to standard.
Yep.
So they'd separate the slate from the good coal, and they had slate piles, and my Uncle Earl was a dozer driver, bulldozer, and what his job was to push the slate and get that away. So, of course, that made a lot of dust, too. And none of these guys knew enough to protect their logs or protect their you know, breathing at all. And sometimes someone would have those goggles on, like flyers had, you know.
Right. So at the end of the day, they'd lift them up, and there'd be white eyes, and then the rest of their face would
be
but
black.
But you said they took a shower right at the binds area.
They had different clothes, and they took a shower and put their good clothes on. Sometimes my dad would come and he'd have black in the wrinkles, you know, of his face and stuff.
Well, you're in a hurry to get home.
Yeah, you're in a hurry to get out of there. And
you're only
hungry.
You're going to get dirty the next day anyway, so.
Yeah, and you're hungry. You've had maybe a bologna sandwich.
Good God.
And some water, and you've worked all day, so.
Now, did your mother, she was always a housewife?
My mother was, but my mother was very unhealthy. And after Clara was born, who's the baby, and there's about 3 years in between each one of us. After Clara was born, Mother had some lung problems, and she had pleurisy on the lungs, and she had to go to Harlan, which was the next biggest town, and they took big needles and went in through the back and sucked that pleurisy out of her lungs.
Oh, God.
And so she was always sickly. I only remember my mother as being sick.
Was she bedridden or just not quite up to par?
Not up to par, but most of the time bedridden.
Really?
I can remember some days with her being a little better. You know, like I remember, they were wallpapering the kitchen. I guess you remember funny things better than you do sad things, maybe. And they were wallpapering the kitchen, and my aunt Ella was there from Georgia, come to Kentucky to visit.
Mm-hmm.
And that was first wife of Edgar.
Okay.
And
I got her.
They come to visit, and I'll never forget it because I did it. She was sitting right next to the cupboard. And I have that in my kitchen, that cupboard.
Really? Okay.
Now.
Yeah, okay.
And she was sitting next to that cupboard. And Mother said, get the sugar for the candy. They were going to make candy. So I tried to reach up on the cupboard to get the sugar, and I dumped it right out on top of her. She was just covered in sugar. It was funny to me.
Not so funny.
But I got a spanking for it.
There you go. Not your fault. You were trying to read something.
And so, well, my mother wasn't very good about that. She spanked you over everything.
Was she more the one that did that in the family?
Yeah, she was a real nervous person.
Because I always remember, I can't say I remember that much about your mother, but I know your dad was always soft-spoken.
My dad never spanked me.
And I always kind of thought of him as having integrity, he wasn't a pushover, but on the other hand, he wasn't a big mouth, you know.
That's right. I didn't know all the things my dad had done until my dad was gone, and people would start talking about it. Like, my dad went out west and worked in the gold mines, the guy wanted him to stay there. And he would sign the mines over to him. But my dad said, nope, I got to go home.
Did he have kids at that time?
No, that was before.
But he was still married to your mom?
No, that was before they were married.
Oh, it is. So he was a young guy, and he went out to make his fortune.
Right.
Like everyone.
He and him went.
You know what town that he went to?
No, I don't.
But he it was out west.
But he worked in gold mines. I know that.
Wow.
And the guy tried to get him to stay, and he said, if you stay, I'll sign everything over to you.
Oh.
But my dad, he wouldn't stay. He said, no, I got to go home to my family, you know. I've been gone a long time, and they might need me.
I'll do some research, because now I got a time frame to look for him out there.
Uh-huh.
Because I had an uncle that was a gold miner.
Oh, that's
great
good.
Great uncle.
Oh, that's good.
Well,
He come back and he went with them all the time. He and him would take off and go. He was real close to his uncle.
How did your parents meet?
I think my dad was staying at cousin's house there in Lynch. Mm-hmm. And I think they just kind of met, you know, on the street or something. And
but normally they wouldn't have had anything to do with the Gillums.
Right, right. And my grandpa, the first time my dad come to visit, grandpa always wanted to get to know just what kind of people my mm-hmm. mother was going with, or all of his children. So he gave my dad a cup of coffee laced with laxatives.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
And so my dad stayed there, you know, for...
Oh, you mean to keep him, make him stay?
No, make him go.
Yeah, but I mean, to make him go, like, what do you mean by that, though? I mean,
he, like, my dad sat there for...
Oh, you mean to get rid of the guy?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want him dating my daughter.
Or it's time for you to go, you're not staying here all evening. And
really?
And so he laced his coffee with... laxatives.
That's and, Rose's father did that.
Yes.
Oh my God.
And he kept waiting for Dad to have to leave, you know, and Dad would sit there and talk and talk, and he said, pretty soon my dad kind of got restless, and he said, Rose, I guess I better go. It's getting late, and they're looking for me, so I better get out of here. My dad said he barely made it to the barn.
Oh God.
So the barn was down the hill from the orchard, so you had to go. He had grapes, an arbor with grapes, mm-hmm. and it was quite long. It was as long as a house or longer, and you had to go down through the arbor and out to the barn. So my dad said he had a time getting down to that barn. And then he said he thought he was going to die there before he got out. But Grandpa, that was his way.
That wasn't very nice.
Well, he thought...
Well, he was well-meaning.
If the guy has any good intentions, he'll be back.
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. So, when my dad come back, Grandpa said, well, you sure left here in a hurry last time. Dad said, I'm not thirsty this time. So, they got along pretty good after that. So, Dad gave, you know... And Dad and my grandpa was pretty close.
What kind of a school did you go to when you started school?
When I started school, I started in Cumberland, Kentucky.
Was it a regular, like it's a town?
Yeah.
So it was a regular school.
Three towns almost ran together.
Cumberland.
I mean, you had to be there to know where one stopped and the other was supposed to stop.
Is this where Willa Mays thing?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, because we did the same thing. We went right through there, and it was one after the other.
Yep. Okay. Three towns.
So that area where the cemetery, that town, you know it well.
Yeah, oh yeah.
You didn't live there, but did you? Or not, you lived in another town over?
No, I lived right there.
You did?
I lived, my uncle lived up on one hill, cemetery was on the other hill, my grandfather was on the other hill. And
now,
so
that museum there's some coal mines near there. Is that where your dad worked?
Yeah. He worked Lynch for a while, which was a town just by the mountain, under the mountain. Mm-hmm. If you went over the mountain, and you were in Virginia. Mm-hmm. And so he worked there in Lynch, and then he worked the Benham Mines for a while. And then he did go off into some small mines here and there when he got laid off. Mm-hmm. And then my cousin from Hawkins, Joanne, was married to Bill Hearn in Flint. And Bill was a big boss at Chevrolet.
Ah.
So Bill called Dad, and they told him that they were going to start hiring there at the plant in Michigan, in Flint. And Jolene told Dad that she had room for all of us to bring your kids and Rose and come on up and
change your life
and saved us. Really, I don't know I do have cousins that still live there.
But so your dad couldn't have kept going.
Well,
forever.
He wouldn't have lived as long as he did, no.
Then it would have been a lot of hard work.
And they've had a lot of cave-ins, so you never knew, you know, when your family was going to get trapped in a cave-in. There was no guarantee. They put up timbers, and when they went through, they'd look, and if they saw a timber that they felt was not doing its job, they'd put a new one in.
But the men were one thing, but they didn't want to have to clean up the mess and interrupt the flow of coal coming out.
Well, it would trap the men in the
it
back.
It would trap them, but I mean, it would also, for their benefit, they could make more money if it doesn't happen.
Right.
Comes down to dollars.
And lives, you know.
Oh, I'm sure.
And my
dad. They probably didn't want to lose people. You
that's
know.
Right.
It's a family.
My grandfather had a mines on his land. Up from his house,
a little ways. Grandfather, which side?
Gillum. And my dad
Ferris.
Would work Ferris. My dad would work Grandpa's mines after he got out of work at weekends. He would go up and work, re-timber, and then dig some coal and put it in the cars and get it out. And that's what we used through the winter to heat with. Wow. And my grandfather, so we didn't have to buy our coal.
So would you like take coal and throw it in like a fireplace or a
warm morning heater?
What was that?
Warm morning heater, which was like something like the stove you have up north.
Okay.
Only they were usually rectangle and stood about 6 feet.
And a vent to the outside.
And they vented to the outside with a pipe. Okay. Like,
so that probably drove you right out of the house. I mean, that would be warm.
That would be warm. And like when I was born in March, I would have been probably put into a pasteboard box and sat next to the stove to stay warm. And the other two girls were born in February. So it was even colder. Colder in the mountains than it is in the valleys, you know that. So it would be cold at our houses. Mm. And my dad...
Well, you didn't have a furnace. And I mean, we're the heat comes for us, the heat goes on, and out of the vent comes the heat. Well, with a stove like that, you want to be in the room where the heat is or you're freezing.
Right. And so we weren't very rich. Mm. We were real poor people. So we stood in line. I remember standing in line at the Union Hall to see Santa Claus. Uh-huh. And they would give us a bag of fruit and a bag of candy.
That was your toys.
That was our fruit and candy. When the three of us got through the line, that was enough fruit and enough. They give you like two apples, a red and a green, you know. Mm-hmm. And an orange and a tangerine, and a grapefruit, and that was your. And then they give you a bag of candy. It always had candy cane,
okay.
A couple candy canes, and other little loose candy, and that was a big deal for Christmas.
Kind of like the mine or the unions did that for
the union
workers.
Did it, because
they knew probably some of those kids might not. That might be a bottle they get.
Oh yeah, that probably would have been the only fruit we would have got. And probably, well, we got candy because my dad never missed a Christmas. He didn't buy my mother a big box of candy.
Really? Like chocolates?
Chocolates. Different flavors, you know.
Really?
Always. Always.
Now, was your mom able to work around the house, though? I mean, did she, like, can? And
so, yeah, she did.
In spite of her illness. So for her, it was extra hard.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She had to overcome. She didn't feel good. She still had work to do.
Right. My dad would help her when he was home. My dad did just about everything. And we grew a fairly good-sized garden for the land we had. And we would fill the trunk of my dad's car up, and we'd go up to Benham. And we would go, Dad would drive very slow up the street, and we would each have a bag of beans and maybe 6 ears of corn, and we go knock on doors.
Jeez. Sell it.
Sell it. Do you want beans today? Would you like some corn fresh from the garden? Go to the next house.
You guys were doing it, so you'd like attack a neighborhood. Or the road, yeah. You go up down the road.
My dad would drive up and down the road, and Clara and I, Wilma stayed home and helped take care of Mom, but Clara and I would take I'd take one side of the street and she'd take the other side.
Were people pretty good? This was like a county road or what?
This is streets, just
like a town street.
Like a town street, like your neighborhood street.
So you just knock on every door and...
knock on the door, and they got used to us doing that. And
do you think
say,
you were the only ones doing that, or do you think the other people would have... It wasn't unusual.
I'm not sure, because I'd say the Henson girls are here with some corn and beans.
Really?
And...
Were people pretty good about buying it from you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because... You had to make change?
All they had was a small... Well, we sold... Yeah, we'd have to make change with them, or they'd be waiting for us through the garden's time.
Really?
And they'd say, the Henson girls are here, and they'd get their change, and if they needed beans, they'd buy it. If they needed corn, they'd buy it. And they'd have it, and they'd give it to us, and Dad gave us a bag to put the money in. Hmm. So we'd put the money in the bag, and he'd drive to the next houses, and we'd go into those, and we did that. I remember two summers I did that.
How old would you have been when you did that?
I was probably maybe 10.
Really?
And Clara's 3 years younger.
Oh, my God.
And my dad was out of work, and we had to live.
So he was laid off.
He was laid off.
You were putting, the money was to buy what you couldn't grow in the garden.
Right, right. And then we'd get the milk and the butter from my uncle.
Oh, my God.
And he would, you know, he would give us good prices for it.
Mm-hmm.
They had one uncle that owned the grocery store. And so he would, Kermit owned the grocery store, and he would...
Now, whose brother? Now, Kermit, who?
My grandfather's brother. And he would always give us a good price.
Ferris' brother.
Ferris's brother. And he'd give us good prices, but, you know, he had to make a living, too.
And that was on your mother's side as Ferris?
My mother's side, because my dad come from Georgia and my mother from there. Now, my dad had some family that lived there. That's how he got there. But they were...
still working?
Addie Hawkins is...
Yeah, it's working.
Second husband.
Mm-hmm.
And they lived there.
Hmm.
And that's how my dad got there and got a job. And then he met my mom.
Mm-hmm.
And
doing good.
They used to come and visit us, you know.
Hmm.
And
but I mean, think of how destitute your dad didn't have a job and jobs weren't around. It's like, how long am I going to be doing this?
He would try to go get, you know, he would try to work at these little mines that didn't have unions and stuff, mm-hmm. you know. It wasn't all safe because there wasn't anybody making sure that it was safe.
Yeah.
And, but he'd work at them if he could get a day job with them, work a day now and then, or if they hit a new vein of coal, they would... Want to get that out of there.
So this would be in the early 1950s.
Yes.
Wow.
And he worked the mines until he just... We were going to have to move or do something anyway when Jolene called and said she thought that he could get a job in Flint and that the whole fam could stay with her. She had room. Piled us up on the floor, but it made no difference, you know.
You'd be glad to be there.
We kids.
Now, did he work at Chevrolet?
Went into Chevrolet.
In the hole there in Flint, you think?
Uh-huh. And he went to Chevrolet, and they said, we're not hiring today. And so he'd leave, and the next morning, when the plant opened, he was standing at the gate waiting to try to get a...
Mm-hmm.
application to get in. And he did that. He got to know the guy that was handing them out because he was there every day. And the guy said, they're not giving any today, Alvin. You can just go home.
Wow.
And pretty soon he said to my dad, hey, Alvin, I think they're going to give me some applications today. So stand right over there and you'll be one of the first I give it to.
Wow.
So that's how he got into work, and he stood there for a long time. And then my mother got the job, and she and her friend were the only two women working in General Motors at that time.
Okay. What did she do? Where did
she worked work? Right on the line. She put together brakes.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
So she wasn't like, as the cars go by, was she like on another line where they kind of assemble the brakes?
Assembly line, yeah.
Really?
And she assembled the brakes.
Was it hard work for her or not? So?
Well, I'm sure it was.
Because of her health, if nothing else.
But she didn't ever complain, wow. You know.
So in those days, though, that was big bucks. I mean, to have two people working at General Motors.
Right.
We're talking serious.
Yes. Now, when we lived there in Kentucky, before we went, we used to live in this shotgun house.
Okay, yep.
Shotgun house went from the front door to the back door. Yep. You could see bedrooms on the side. And we were up next to the river, and they had a flood one time. And I remember going out on our porch and looking down through the cracks on the porch and seeing the river flow underneath.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
That's how.
It was close.
That's how bad it was, uh-huh. And those were one of my grandfather's houses, and he rented to both black and white.
Mm-hmm.
And he and his brothers built, my grandfather and his brothers together built and financed the Gillum Chapel, which is the church.
Now, who did this again?
My grandfather Ferris.
Ferris.
And his brothers.
Okay.
Together built and financed the building, what they couldn't do.
The chapel, which.
And bought the wood stuff.
Yep.
And built that church, and it still stands today, and that's the community church there. It's called the.
In which town?
Clutch.
In Clutch. So the community church in Clutch was built by your.
Grandfather
and his brothers. Ferris and his brothers.
And the money, and it's called the Gillum Chapel.
Is it? Good. Well, you deserve that one.
Uh-huh. It's called the Gillum Chapel, and that's where I went to church until we moved to Michigan.
So have you seen the church or been in it lately? Or?
I haven't been into it lately, but it is still there.
Well, I'll see what I'll try to
and
do.
It's
is
still,
I'll try to get pictures of it.
And it's
and
still
if we
named.
Have a story here, we'll just interject. You know, that would be the time to put picture of the church.
And then Grandpa had little houses around there. So he took a little house about two doors down, and they went in there and took down all the walls and just left the outside walls,
mm-hmm.
and made a pulpit and put bleachers in there. And that was the black community church.
Wow.
And I don't know if that's still standing or not. Okay. I know that when I drove by, I saw the brick building, so I know the Gillum Chapel's there. But this was a wooden house, so I don't know how much it was.
I'll look for that then on Street View and just see uh-huh. what we can find.
And he, because he didn't want the blacks to be without a church either.
Well, back then, they probably wouldn't allow them in the white church, so it was like...
No, they had two different churches. Right across the street almost.
You know what I mean, though. They wouldn't let them mix, so because of that, they needed their own church.
Right. And they, on Sundays, or sometimes Saturdays, here come the black minister up to my grandpa's, and he always came at mealtime.
Ah.
And he always ate with us.
Well, that's good.
Grandpa's, you know, my grandpa would say, here comes... You know, the minister.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandma would set another place at the table like she did for anybody that walked by or in. For instance, they raised Johnny Creech, No.
Okay. I might have seen that name on a census.
Okay. Johnny had no family that actually
this
took care
Harris
of him.
This is and your grandmother.
Uh-huh. They raised Johnny. He was Jack's age.
Okay. Is he just a kid that happened to be without a parent?
Without parent or without the proper care. I don't know.
Now you'd met what you met this Creech, Johnny Creech?
Johnny Creech lived with us probably a year in Flint, and and my parents got him a job at the factory.
How old was he?
Jack's age. My Uncle Jack.
So he'd have been middle age or.
So we used to use him, Johnny. We would call the fraternity houses, and we would invite them over to our house for a party. You know, the boys, when we were teenagers,
okay.
We'd invite the fraternity brothers over for a party, and then we'd give them time to get there. Then we'd hide in the house, and when they come up to the door, Johnny'd go to the door. Yeah, what do you guys want, you know? And they'd say, well, we were called by some girls to come over. They was having a party, and Johnny'd say, if you don't get off of my land, I'm going to shoot you, you know? And then we were in there in the living room just giggling and laughing.
Oh my God.
We thought that was so funny. I see now that maybe it wasn't as funny if someone did that to my son.
When I was in a fraternity, was there like a college?
GMI.
Oh, GMI. They're talking Flint then. Oh, okay. Oh, my God.
Yeah, GMI. And we just called one fraternity after another.
Now, where did you live when you first went to Flint?
We lived with Jolene just on the outside of Flint, northwest side of Flint. They had a little farm there and quite a big house.
Oh, it was a ways out of town then.
Not too far, but a ways out.
Water Road or north somewhere.
Yeah. And
are you Joanne, all one word?
Yes.
Because I've seen it a couple different ways.
Me? My name?
Yeah.
My name is Joe.
That's what I wondered. And then Joe, and then space, and
Ann.
And your middle name.
Right. Now, I dropped the E. I don't put it on there.
Okay. Well, you can do that.
You know. But
well, like
on my birth certificate,
that might be Joe.
It is. And driver's license, even.
Really? To this day?
Uh-huh.
Really?
Uh-huh.
So then you have your middle name, Joe.
Yeah. And I have to put the E there in documents because they want to put it together. They don't understand that
right.
Ann is my middle name.
Okay. How do you want me to represent it here? Because I could do it either way.
We always go Joanne.
Just one word?
Mm-hmm.
Do you want it that way? Or I could say J-O and then space Ann. Whatever you want.
I don't care. You can put the E on there if you want to. That's what my parents wanted to give me, so.
Okay. Is that you?
I'm not sure that this was because I didn't know how to spell it or.
Then I could almost say that that's official, but then you could. I could use that as your name, but then I could say that most of the time you just go by Joanne, all one word.
Yeah.
Capital J and then O A N N.
My
without
mother.
An E on the end.
My mother went to school and graduated from Benham. But my dad never went to school more than the third grade or the second grade because his father fell at the copper mines and
was
crippled.
Say, he had to go to work. He had to work his butt off, and he was in second grader, would have been like
right
9 years old, maybe. Or no, that'd be seven.
Yeah, and he had to help with the small children, the younger children, or he had to
his
do the
William
milking
Carl, right?
Or
okay.
Whatever there was to
William
do.
Carl is his dad, right? Okay.
Right. And he had to...
What did William Carl go by?
He went by Carl.
Okay. Never called Bill or nothing? Just
no, Carl.
Was the wife Hannah, or am I screwed up?
The wife was Ollie.
Oh, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, you're right.
Ollie.
I'm not finding a lot of evidence of Indian evidence. I mean, there's a little bit, but not much.
Right.
So they blended. I mean, they didn't go out of their way to...
Oh, no, because they were scared that they'd have to go move to the reservation.
Well, we had those sheets, and I wondered if you're destitute, that was the place you'd end up being or something.
Yeah. Well, they didn't want to go back, and they would lie to the people that came there. And Clara was there when a lady came, and she wanted to give my grandmother a number.
Ah.
But she refused to take it and said, I'm not Indian, and stuff like that, you know, because she thought they'd make her move to the reservation.
Mm-hmm.
And so she denied it.
They were scared. I mean, they don't know what's going on. The government, I mean, this day and age, think about it.
Yeah. And my dad said his grandmother, my mother, his mother's side or father's side, I don't know which one, but when she would come visit, even when the snow was on the ground, she never had shoes.
Really? Now, who was this?
My dad's grandmother.
Really?
And that she walked to keep her feet warm in the snow and stuff, she walked the creeks. She'd walk in the creeks every place that she could because that was warm. The water was warmer than the ground. And so she walked the creeks. Of course, it didn't snow a lot there.
Barbara
in Georgia.
Had a relative that was... And it was like an Indian princess way back. And she always kept the garb and she kept the Indian ways.
Oh.
Like she instead of sitting in a chair, she'd sit on the floor. Do one of those. So. Do you want to take a break or anything?
No. Yeah. I got to go to the bathroom.
Right, let's just do that. Let's just. I'll just push this and. Okay. So if she's Edgar's.
Granddaughter.
So Ollie's granddaughter too.
Yes.
Okay, and then which is her father or mother?
Who's Harley?
Harley. Okay, so it's Harley's kid.
Yeah, Edgar's.
All right, here we go. Is that all right? That seems to work.
Yeah.
And I was
Edgar's family actually.
I was surprised. I tried this out before and. That's pretty good.
And he has a brother. He has a son that's the oldest one in our generation living right now. And that's James.
Okay.
James is...
Where's he live?
He lives down in Georgia there near Etheridge. He doesn't... there was a trailer sitting on the old home place. He's north of the old home place where Ollie and W.C. first
lived. So we were actually in Kentucky with the Willa Mays Memorial. That's Kentucky.
Yeah.
Cumberland, Kentucky. And then how far would Georgia be? Is that a ways or not?
Oh, yeah. That was probably 8-hour drive.
Georgia?
Maybe six.
Really? Up in the mountains. You're not that far from Virginia.
No.
Because we took a bike ride and we went down a mountain in Virginia, and it's in a town that's like 30 or 40 miles from Cumberland.
Mm-hmm.
And I was almost threatening to stay there, except it's one of those deals you can't get there from here, you know, it's like, so, amazing.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, we did.
Well, it's nice that you know about your mother's side about as much as you know about your dad's side.
Yeah, I
the
do.
Gillums, I mean, that's like huge.
I don't know my grandmother's I was thinking of it last night and I came up with the names, but I don't have them right this moment. Aunt June, she lived over in Virginia. And she worked at one of the banks over there, and she was president of it at that time.
Really?
And if you go over there and go into their bank, they have a huge, big picture of her on the wall.
Now, how about the Elrods? Did you have anything to do with the Elrods? That would have been William Carl's mother's side.
No. Her name was nothing Martha, but oh. Aunt, his sister, Rose. He had a sister, Rose.
William Carl. Okay. How about the Owenses? Did you have anything to do with the Owenses? That would have been Ollie's mother's side.
Well, no. No. Just her sisters and brothers. Okay, nothing. No.
Ferris's mother was Susan Bailey.
Right.
Did you know of her? You've.
Oh, yes.
That'd have been your great-grandmother.
Yes, and Ken even met her.
Susan Bailey.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
She lived to be over 110, and I'm not sure, or about like that.
Really?
And we used to come home from school, we'd walk home from school, and we always stopped at Granny's. And she would sit there, and she'd take a puff off of her corncob pipe. And then she let us all have a puff.
Okay, now I don't know when she died. She was born in 1859. There she is. And then I got her parents. And that was Brunner. Brunner was one of their kids.
Right. Brunner was the son.
Okay. Okay, and then there's Hattie. Yep.
Mm-hmm. Kermit.
And some of these I'll do some more research because
I almost look at that family and think the guy that made up the Muffets knew my family.
Perfect names.
Because, there's a Gomer and there's a Kermit and, right,
yeah,
and you know. So.
Well, I see a lot. I got over 11,500 names in my database.
Wow!
And he's the only Brunner, and of course, he's the only Ferris. Gomer might be one of the few Gomers, and might be only Kermit. So they picked an unusual name.
Yes, they did.
And then there was one side of your family where they picked a bunch of like presidents, like William McKinley, and there was a. My dad's side did that, too.
Oh, Hattie Lockhart. Hattie married a Lockhart.
All right, let's see that. Oh, she did. Okay, I'll find that then. Hattie Gillum married a Lockhart. Well, she was born in 1903, so she probably hadn't been gone too long. Has she?
No, not really. The one that lived the longest was Uncle Gomer's wife.
Gomer, huh? Okay. And I got her as Marjorie. And you're right. She was 99 when she died. She was born in 1900, and she almost made it to 99. She wasn't quite. She was
and
a month
we would
short.
Go visit her often.
Where did she live?
Cumberland.
Oh, okay. So.
And her daughter come to visit her. And she said, I'd like for you to take me for a ride. And she said, okay, where do you want to go? And she said, oh, just down the road a ways. And they went down there. And she said, oh, why I'm here, show me that new rest home they have down here. And so her daughter, Janelle, said, okay, I'll take you over there and show it to you. She said, I might know somebody. So they went over there to the rest home, and she got out of the car and went into the office, and she said, I'm here to sign up.
Unbelievable.
And she put herself in the rest home. She
Good
said,
for her.
My kids have taken care of me long enough.
You know, you don't see that very often.
And
Good
she
for
was
her.
She was quite the lady.
I'll be.
And we went down there to see her, and she said, well, come on in and see my new home. And she took us into the dining hall, and then she...
Now, where would that rest home be?
Right there in Cumberland. It's south of town.
There's probably only one then, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it
is. I'll look that up, and we'll try to make the connection there. So.
She just was that type of a woman, you know? I mean, they were all very strong people. I come from a line of some strong, some weak.
Now, does the Gillums have a family reunion, too, or?
No. Well, they have had a couple.
But it's really the Hansons that have the big one in Georgia.
Right. Right.
Now, who organizes that big one in Georgia?
Etheridge. Okay. Etheridge Ware.
Let's find him. This is all I can do to get through this, all these people. Etheridge Ware. And Etheridge would be...
He's Ruby's son.
Oh, he is. Okay.
My dad's sister's Ruby.
There's Ruby. Okay.
And Etheridge.
Okay. I don't have Etheridge on there, but I got his dad, Claude Robert.
Right.
What'd Claude Robert go by?
Claude.
Claude. All right.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And,
Boy, they're all in that New Liberty Baptist Cemetery.
I just started to tell you that that's their church, too.
It is.
And that's Etheridge's. He keeps that church.
Now, we weren't in a fan of Georgia, then that's where you go near there for the reunions?
Yeah.
Is it in Fannin?
Yeah.
It is.
At the, not really. It's in Copper Hill, Tennessee, because that's where the park is.
Okay.
But it's just across the river from.
Is Copper Hill where your parents' home was? Is?
No, they were in.
Speedwell. No, Speedwell.
Mm-hmm.
Speedwell?
Tennessee. And that was the north.
Okay.
And Copper Hill is the south. And you go across the bridge, you're in Georgia.
Now, back when you first moved to Flint, you it was more of a farm that you lived on? And whose property was it again?
Jolene Hearn.
Jolene Hearn, who's married to...
Bill Hearn.
Bill Hearn. And then Jolene, what's her connection to you?
She was a Hawkins.
Okay, okay. Jolene, one of the Hawkins kids.
Yeah.
Had a Jolene, and then, so she was a Jolene Hawkins.
Right.
Okay. All right. Because she really, she's the one that really is the key to the whole deal, isn't she?
She's the one that gave us my dad his beginning
And she called right out of the blue. You didn't
got him
ask.
Out of the mines.
But I mean you.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're still going. We're still going.
She would go down there, and when my dad was in Georgia taking care of his parents, who lived in his house down there, mm-hmm. my dad's house in Georgia, when we would go down there, we would clean, paint, fix this, fix that. And that was considered Alvin's house, but anyway, so if there was any bills, they come to my dad.
Hmm.
Nobody else paid the electricity for my grandparents. Nobody did anything. Wow. And Claude dug the well, Ruby's husband, but he charged my dad for doing it.
And here your dad has been footing all the other bills, so it's like, you know... Well, yeah. You know, some people feel different about it. You know, God knows what they feel like.
And we went to Florida. Dad took us to Florida. He wanted us to see the ocean. And he packed us in that car. And we stopped in Georgia. And we picked up Grandma and Grandpa.
Hmm.
So Grandpa,
Ferris.
Mom.
No. William Carl.
William, Carl.
And Ollie.
And Ollie. And we picked up Angeline, Ruby's daughter.
Okay.
And so the four of us was in the back seat and three in the front seat. And my dad, we stayed in a hotel near Jacksonville. And near St. Augustine there.
That was a big deal, though, wasn't it? I mean, uh-huh. Florida like that was probably a big deal.
Oh, yeah. And my dad, and then we got up the next day and drove down to Daytona. And my dad drove the car out on the beach and opened the door. And we helped my grandfather get his feet out in the sand.
I'll be darned.
And see the ocean, you know, because he had never seen it.
Well, Carl, so that was like the a big deal at his age to yes. be able to finally go to see the ocean.
Yeah. He had never been down there or anything. And so we went to the ocean, and he got to put his feet in the sand and look at the ocean, and it was a big thing. And then he took us to Ocala.
Okay.
And we went, saw, you know, the underwater, the glass-bottom boats.
Okay. Kind of the wiki-wachi, or that kind of stuff.
Just the glass-bottom boats. Okay. We saw fish and okay. all kinds of stuff like right. that. And then we headed back home, but, you know, my dad couldn't afford for us to stay that long, because wherever he went, he had to have three rooms.
Well, and then you got the restaurant.
Four girls, yeah.
You could peanut butter and jelly it, or bologna it so much, you know.
Yeah. So that was one thing my dad did and cared and wanted to do
this
for his
dad.
Before
you moved to Michigan, right, or not?
That was after we moved to Michigan.
So you went back down and then treated
on vacation.
Okay, good. Okay.
All of our vacations were to my grandparents.
Okay.
All of them.
Well, it's the only time you get to see them.
That's
right. You're either working and then you got your 2 weeks. It's right. like, I better go visit relatives.
And my grandpa's house that my dad built there, one side of the house had no walls. And they made a store in there, a little mom-pop store where you stop and get you a pop and get you a bag of chips or, you know, cookies if you were out there. Nothing.
What town was this?
Big. This was really out in the country there at Blue Ridge.
Okay.
And
to Georgia.
Georgia. And that's where my grandparents lived then. And there is the house that I grew up in. And when I go, I'll take pictures. And it was a shotgun house. It's all covered with vines, and some of the roof has fallen in. Mm-hmm. But they went to New Liberty Church. And my uncle, excuse me, my uncle brought his, Bessie and Earl came, that was my mother's brother, came from Kentucky down there to visit us. And we were at church, and they come to the church, because they knew we was at the New Liberty Church there, no matter what. So they come to the New Liberty Church because we wasn't home when they got there. And it was a big deal to travel that far.
Mm-hmm.
And I had gone to sleep at church, laying on the bench, you know, with my head in my dad's lap. And so he just scooped me up and put me in the car. And so glad to see my mother's brothers and stuff. And they went in the house, and they were giving this person this bed, that person that bed, and they just strung everybody out in beds. And the next morning, they said, well, where's Joanne? Because they all got up, kids running around. Where's Joanne? And they said, we don't know. And they went out, and I was still in the car.
Oh,
jeez. Slept all night long in the car. It wasn't that they didn't love me. It was just that, you know.
Hey, they had a lot going on. A company like that, and you're trying to sleep everyone.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. And so they all they'd stay a week, you know.
Well, back then, I mean, even today, people do stay with relatives, to, you know, instead of motel a lot of times.
And funny things happen in your life, like mother and teen, Montine Clyde's wife, and mother and
they called her teen.
Ruby.
Okay, Montine. Okay, but teen.
It's teen.
Okay.
They went into town to have their hair done, or to go shopping, whatever. And they left us there with Aunt Rose, which was my Carl's sister.
Okay.
And I don't know if Rose, I don't think Rose ever got married. But anyway, she stayed there with us. And we said, we want candy, we want candy. How kids are. And Rose said, there is no candy here. There is no candy. That's why your mom went shopping. She'll bring stuff home. And we kept crying, we want candy. She said, we don't have any candy. We said, yeah, up there on the refrigerator. Mm. So she looked up there on the refrigerator, and she pulled down this box and opened it up. What was chocolate? So she halved it between us, every one of us. Unfortunately, she couldn't read. It was X-lax. So she gave us kids X-lax, the big size ones.
Oh.
And she just halved them between us. Well, needless to say, we was a run into the bathroom.
When I was a kid, we were I went with Lizzo's, who were our next door neighbor. I went to New York, and she must have realized that traveling, I wasn't going like I was supposed to. So she loaded me up with X-lax. Probably the full thing, you know. And then the next day, we were in the car the whole day.
Oh.
And I tell you, when we finally hit a hotel, I hightailed it. And it's I still have memories of that.
It's yeah.
Miserable, you know.
Yeah, well, we would have to run out and go to the bathroom, run out and go to the bathroom. Well, we never had a toilet. Mm-hmm. So you went.
What's this on the toilet?
You went to the barn. Or out in the weeds. You didn't have toilets.
How old were you when this?
4, 5, maybe 6.
Now, wait a minute. So when you were growing up, no indoor.
No indoor.
Did you have like a pump in the house?
Oh, no. We went into the spring and got buckets of water and carried them up.
When you were a kid?
Uh-huh.
For like a bath, what would you do? Buckets and bring them
buckets
up?
And tub.
How would you heat them on a stove?
On the stove.
Did you have electricity in the house?
No.
Wood stove. When you were a kid?
Yes. When I was a kid, we had no inside johns or no running water or no electricity.
Did you have an outhouse to speak of? Or
no. No outhouse.
You didn't?
No.
What in God's name did you do?
We ran out to the barn. We went with the cows.
Really? Just
yeah.
Like pick a stall, any stall?
Yep.
How about toilet paper? No need?
Well,
I hate to get.
You grab a sheet off the Sears Roebuck
literally
catalog.
Oh, my God. So and when you were growing up, now at what
it
point
was hard.
Did they get something, did they have electricity?
No. We
so
had
were you
oil
like
lamps.
Kerosene?
Oil lamps.
Oil lamps.
And I still got one of them.
How old were you when
they
finally got something?
My dad went to work in the coal mines, and we moved up to Kentucky.
Okay.
We lived first in the shotgun house over by the river. And then my dad built us a house. My grandpa bought the land, and it was just down the hill from my grandfather's, and he built us a house.
Now, you were born in, what, 43?
Mm-hmm.
Where was your parents in 1940? Would they have been in Georgia, or would he have been working in the mines?
I think they were in Georgia.
Because I'll look for them on the 1940 census. And that might give their address.
Now, my dad is the first person named on the census in Cherokee County, North Carolina.
Good. That's that was interesting because the first call.
Mm-hmm. That's when they first started making the census. He was the first person.
Hmm.
In
1940, they would have lived in what town in Georgia, do you think?
If they lived in Georgia, they lived in Mineral Bluff.
Would this have been Fannin?
Yeah.
Mineral Bluff and Fannin. We'll look later. We'll find them on the 1940 census.
Yeah.
They were married then.
Oh yeah.
And they no kids or when how old is Willa Mae?
They had Wilma, I think.
1940? No.
Yeah, she was. I was born in 1943, and she was 3 years.
Oh, you said
older.
Because usually the censuses might have been like April, June, and you said she'd have been born in earlier in the year, February.
February.
February of 40.
Yeah, I think.
So we're going to find Willa Mae.
February the 13th.
Now, Willa Mae, has she always...
Maybe it's the 12th.
Okay. But has she always spelled her name? That would be a name you could misspell easily. How do you spell Willa Mae the right way?
She spells it... She spelled it W-I-L-L-E Mae, M-A-E.
All one word.
No, she separated. May was her middle name.
Willa, W-I-L-L-E, space, May, M-A-E. And did she have a nickname or just everyone said Willa Mae?
Willa Mae. No nickname. Hmm. Now, I got the nickname Joe.
You did? Okay.
I was always called Joe.
Now, your mother was always Rose. That was her Rose. Name. And does she have a middle name?
No. That I know of.
Does your dad have a middle name? Alvin?
No. Not that I know of.
Some of the kids had middle names. Others didn't.
Right.
And I'm thinking, isn't that odd? You'd think that they'd be consistent.
Yeah. Now, Clara's name is Clara Jean.
Okay.
Clara Jean
Henson. And she always went by Clara.
Clara. And Willa Mae always went by Willa.
And Clara's husband was always Bill, even though he was a William something.
Uh-huh. Bill.
Bill.
When you worked in the factory, people would call you Bill.
So that's on our to-do list today. And we're gonna find your parents in Willa Mae in the 1940 census.
And Willa Mae, or Clara, Delia, his mother, Bill's mother, was my mother's beautician. Mm. And so anytime any one of us had our hair done, we too went to her. You know.
And then once in a while, her son was around laying around. And that was the deal, huh?
Uh-huh. And that's how Clara and mother knew Bill quite well. And that's how Clara met Bill.
Had he already started working for the General Motors?
Yeah, he worked for General Motors. He had been in the service, wearing the helmet all the time, and sweating had caused Bill to lose his hair.
Okay.
So, not everybody was attracted to a young man without hair. But knowing his family... And knowing what happened to it, you know, that it was lost.
I'll look for his service record, because I give, you know, credit to people, you know. That
yeah, and, you know, I don't remember at his funeral of any mention of his service.
Too bad, because he had it coming to get send-off, you know.
Yeah.
The flag and the trumpet.
Yeah, and what happened to him, he was cremated. That's what he wanted to have done. And when they buried him, they buried him in a box.
Okay.
A nice box Clara bought him, not just any old thing. And that's what upset her so bad about Willa Mae, is that they didn't do that.
Mm.
Because they come along and said Bill was in the wrong spot. He should have been on the other side of his mother. They had buried him on the wrong spot.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to be moved. Okay. And if he hadn't have been in a box...
Dust to dust.
That's right. Mm. So that's what... When Willa Mae was buried... That's what bothered Clara and I. We were both really upset that her dust was just dust to dust.
Just nothing special.
And we wanted a box, and we would have bought a box. Yeah. And but we weren't asked. And that's the way apparently they wanted it, and so it's okay with us. But we would have preferred having a box because Clara had gone through that.
Yep.
And I knew about it. Now, what would they have done if Bill hadn't been into a box?
How well, could, you'd like to
they have, just move the headstone.
You want something permanent. You know, you want to have it stay intact, you know.
Well, like Jacob, you know, when he died, Chrissy's baby.
Okay, now I didn't. Is this something she talks about?
Well,
or it Olivia, happened?
Olivia talks about it all the time.
Do you want to talk about it?
There is an urn going from Chrissy's kitchen into her bedroom. There's a thicker wall because there's a closet behind it. And there is a little cutout there that sets back about, you know, 5 inches, 6 inches.
All right.
And an urn is sitting there.
Oh, really?
And Olivia goes by and says, "That's my little brother."
Oh, boy.
So, I mean, that's there. And
was the baby stillborn, or was... I don't know anything about it.
No.
Something new to me.
She just had a terrible...
It's not my business, but it happened.
She had a terrible, terrible pregnancy.
I knew that.
And, I mean, that girl, I've never in my life seen anybody that sick. And Dave said he had never, and that's her father-in-law, he said he had never seen anyone with that many IVs. At home, she had 2 IV poles, and she had IVs going into both arms. And to go to the bathroom, she had to push these 2 into the bathroom.
Sounds
to go.
Like she's bedridden.
And
bedridden.
She was. She sat on the sofa, and if she moved any part of her body, if she moved her arm up, she'd have to throw up. Any way she moved. Now, I'm allergic to flu shots. When I got my flu shot, that's what it did to me.
Wow.
And they said that was because I had a foreign thing in my body.
Hereditary. Yeah.
That my body was rejecting it.
Sure.
So that's what her body did with her pregnancies.
Wow. They named did they name the baby?
Yes, he's Jacob.
Jacob. Mm-hmm. Any middle name or just Jacob?
Just Jacob, as long as.
And how long did the little guy live?
The nurse told us, and Mike and I was in there. She said, when he's born, he's going to come out and he's going to take 1 breath. And then he'll die.
Oh, my God.
Because his lungs are not developed enough to keep breathing. So she said, he'll take 1 breath and then he'll die. So Mike and I was both in there when he was born. And the nurse said, do you want to see him? I said, certainly. So they put him in a cloth, a diaper, or a blanket, I don't remember. And they handed him to me. And then Mike and I touched him, and we petted him, and we turned him over and looked at his little back. And he had little fingernails and little toenails.
Just ready to go.
And very long eyelashes. And he was perfect when you looked at him.
That don't break your heart.
See, he was not the problem. There was nothing wrong with him. It was with her. Mm. Not him. And they had come to us and said, she weighs 82 pounds. And she's losing 2 pounds a day. The baby's taking 2 pounds a day. So what do you want done? Do you want both of them to go, or do you want the baby to go? So we didn't feel we had a choice.
No, you wouldn't.
And we said, no, we want the baby. And so the doctor had to go to the board at the hospital and get permission to take the baby because they were a living hospital, not a killing hospital.
What year would this have been?
Well, Jacob was, Olivia's 13, I think it was 2 years before.
Oh, boy.
And they said that she, you know, we said, well, we'd rather save the mother. And so they said, okay. And I remember Mike sitting in the hall of the hospital with his legs out, with his arms just dropped beside of his side, crying and crying and crying. And it was just so sad that, you know, to see him like that. And then he says to today, I lost my son, you know. But there was nothing Chrissy did that caused it. It's just that her body could not take care of a foreign object.
Something out of our control. I know, Jen, I was this before for Noah, you know, and they were trying to have a family. And I remember one day I was working at some site, and I know exactly where I was. I was opening the main gate of this one cell tower site, and I got a call from Jen, and she told me that it looks like she miscarried, you know, and it was a real early one and all that. And then she went back to work. And I go, Jesus, you know, and sadness. On the other hand, they didn't know if they were going to have kids. And so I looked at it as well. If you miscarried, at least
you had one.
You've sort of, the process is working, but it isn't working yet.
Yeah.
Know? But it's still like, it's not. And she went back to work, and I think they told her, get out of here, go home. But I mean, it's like, my God, what sadness.
Well, it was. It was
so this,
really
they, and I will go over this again, but I mean, this, you know, I've got my database, you know, and how we do it is however anyone wants it.
Yeah. But yeah. Jacob's urn is there. It's,
my God.
It's an angel. And it sits in
in
the hallway.
In Jacksonville that they had the mm-hmm. little guy was born.
And there's the urn. And Olivia's just, I mean, that they told her right away as soon as she got old enough to be told what that urn was.
She had a brother.
She had a brother, but he didn't live. And she was born with that disability of her legs not.
Yeah.
Her brain not telling her legs to move. But that little kid is so smart. And they said, you know, that's never going to change. Her brain is not going to start telling her legs to move.
But I've seen, she's totally normal.
She can mimic anything she sees. She is so smart. And her dance teacher, if you go to, you feel kind of bad sometimes, he'll put her in the front row maybe for one or two steps, but he always has her so in any direction she turns, there's somebody for her to see. So that she can mimic.
Yeah.
So he keeps her, you know, and I know why, and Chrissy knows why, so we have no regrets against him. We appreciate the fact that he takes the extra time. And when he yells at some kid because they're not kicking high enough or that's not the way to do it, and I don't mean yelling mean, but, you know, picking them out, he never picks on her. He is so good to her.
That's interesting that she's good at something that was going to be her downfall.
Yeah.
It's like, you'll never dance, you know, and it's like, well, I showed you.
She does 7 dances in her recital and 2 ballets.
Isn't that something?
And I just think that's wonderful, you know.
Well, people
but I tell come. Chrissy, and I told Chrissy this once, and she said, Mom, I can't believe it. And I said, no, you are. I said, you're the bravest person I know. I said, you went through so much that nobody knows but me how bad it was, because I went and stayed 7 months with her, lived in their house.
It was like horrible morning sickness all the time, right?
Well, only if she moved.
Yeah, only but you know what I mean. She
throw up.
Oh, really?
Move a leg. Throw up. Always had a bag to throw up in her lap, and a cloth and stuff. We had to keep it. Then smells started getting to her. Mm. And so Mike and I had to go out for all of our meals. Mm. We could not eat anything in that house. If we put perfume or aftershave on, it'd make her throw up. If you put deodorant on that had a smell, we had to buy unscented everything.
Did anyone else in the family had any reaction to that? It just came out. It just happened.
It just happened. And it was just, I mean, it was horrifying. And the same with...
Is there a name for that?
Michelle, no, I don't think so. One doctor, one that sent her to California.
Well, there probably is a name, but we don't know.
Said, you know, there was research being done out there, but he said, I don't know how we could get her out there. She's too sick to go. So she couldn't really go. But with Olivia... The neighbors knew that she was that way, and mm-hmm. she had lost one. So she was in the bathroom, and this is very personal. I shouldn't tell you this, but it's true. She didn't want any thing in the way, so she wanted me to take and wax her bottom.
Well, before kids born, they don't shave.
They shave you. And she didn't want to be shaved, so she wanted me to wax it.
Oh, jeez.
So I pulled one off, and she screamed. Anyway, the man next door was mowing his lawn, and he heard her scream.
Oh, jeez.
So he turned the lawnmower off, and he waited. Well, I pulled the next one off, and she screamed again.
Somebody's beating this kid.
So he runs in the house, and he says to his wife, I don't know who's over there with Christina, but she's yelling, and so she might be in labor. You get over there and see if you can help her, and we'll do what... I'll call 911, and we almost had 911 called on us for taking off...
Waxing.
And, but she made it... I mean, she did real good with Olivia, but she was almost 3 months early.
Wow.
So we were lucky... I put my hand into the bassinet, and she took hold of my, and her little hand was there, and I took hold of her little hand, and it was like she squeezed. I had my finger like that and put it in her little hand, and it was like she squeezed my finger. And I turned around and said, she squeezed my finger. Oh, and Mike took a picture of me. What a lousy picture with my mouth open. Of course, it's always open, but still.
If we could crop it, we could get it on the fingers. That's what you do.
Oh, yeah.
You don't look at the face.
Oh, that would be great. I'll get it for you when
get
I see
it. Get it for me, because I can, I can put, add or subtract people in a picture. I can do almost anything.
Oh, yeah. But that's when they let us into the nursery to see her. But Chrissy had, what do I want to say? She had water on the brain. After the birth,
goodness.
And she had to be kept in a darkened room, and you could do nothing but whisper.
Oh my God!
Even and she them. Didn't see the baby, and she didn't see Olivia until she was like 7 or 8 days old. Well, then they wanted, she wanted to breastfeed Olivia, but a baby that's been on a bottle for 7 or 8 days. Just does not want to change from what she's already got.
Plus, Chrissy probably didn't weigh.
Oh, she was
90
small.
Pounds. Mm-mm. I mean, can you imagine what she went through? My God.
Oh, I know. That's why I told her she was one of the bravest people I know, because she went through hell with both of them, and she came out with one, and she works right today just for Olivia. All of everything she makes goes to Olivia. They of course, have an education fund.
Good.
But they have a medical fund.
Okay.
And then she has a college fund, you know, and everything. Now, Olivia has a lot of problems. she uses that Metamucil. Mm-hmm. I mean, not Metamucil, that other stuff that Martha was using it.
Right.
And laxative
some
daily.
Some people, it's like it's a struggle, you know, it's not automatic. I mean, I probably, like my dad, I mean, it's like such a watch if he's in the bathroom, you know.
Yeah.
But not, I know Barbara struggles. We'll go out of town and she'll, a week later, she'll still not have gone, you know. And some people,
well, Olivia has to take that almost daily. Well, she does take it daily. She'll come down and have a glass of water.
So people, I mean,
I've got to drink that, she says.
Yeah, well, it's
fiber. You know, don't throw that out.
They got to have their fiber and stuff. And it's hard nowadays because of this fast food and all of the people and, well, you travel and I don't know.
Well, it's hard in school.
When I go up north, for me, it's just like being home. But for Barbara, it's like being away from home. You know what I mean?
I think that water up there would help her.
You hope. But
I can't drink it.
Don't bother me any.
Puts too much iron in my body, and my legs start aching, and I can't walk.
Did you want me to get a pot of coffee going, and then we'll talk to Martha and see when she's coming over.
Whatever you want
to
do.
We got a place up the country to go to for lunch. It'll be just whatever you want, you know.
Let me shut this off. Testing, 1, 2. Okay.
Good.
Well, I'll tell you something. When a few years ago, I limped into his office, and ever since then, I've been pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally, recently, I had a bout where I didn't think I was drinking any water. I wasn't drinking any water, no water. If I had any liquid, it was coffee, strong coffee. And I think it caught up with me.
Yeah, you were up north.
Because coffee's a diuretic. And anyway, I went to get out of bed up north, and my one leg was in so much pain. I got up in the morning, and my leg was in so much pain I couldn't even move. And I think I decided I had been drinking nothing but coffee, and I'd screwed myself up. So I started hydrating like crazy, and then I went to the chiropractor again, and he gave me a good adjustment. A couple sessions?
You went once. I'm not sure, did you?
I think I went a couple twice. Times, mm-hmm. And tuned me up. So there I am again.
Do you have one of those great big old balls to lean over?
Nope. He does have a bed. When he's done giving you, have you ever been to a chiropractor?
Mm-mm.
Oh, it's fun. The highlight is the next snap. You'll be on your back, and he'll or you'll be on your stomach for a while, and he'll kind of push down a little, but it's really not kind of like, you know, just you wonder if it's even doing anything, but it is. And then he's shifting you around, getting your legs level. So they're equal, because when you go in there, you're like one leg's half an inch longer than the other, or worse. He's had it a lot worse. Anyway, he'll tune you up, and then your neck, to get your neck all tuned up, you'll be on your I don't know if you're on your stomach or your back at the time, but he'll take your head and he'll kind of bring it over to where it's about as far as it's going to go.
You're in your stomach,
he gives it one of those, and it'll snap. You can hear the bone snap. And then he does the other side. And the first time he does that, it scares the bejesus out of you. But now...
That's the idea.
It is. But now I just go with the flow.
I used to have a good friend at church that was a chiropractor.
And it used to be I could go about 45 degrees... And after that, I couldn't. You know, it's
sure
like, and I notice it when I'm driving in a car. It's like, oh my God, I can look behind me now, and there's no pain. And before, my neck just kind of hurt. You know, like you could feel the bones, and it's kind of hurt. Gets rid of all that. Well,
Ken went, and they sure helped his back.
Did they?
Good.
Yes.
Good for him.
And then he went to the doctor, and they give him more therapy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I went to my regular doctor, and I never, ever go to my... When this all started a number of years ago, we'd be like... For years, my leg hurt me, when I was working, and I'd notice it, and I'd be in pain. and just kind of an aching pain. And we'd go to a theater, and we'd be outside that door before they opened the doors, standing, and I couldn't take it. So I'd have to find a bench. I'd like miserable. So I could not stand for 5 minutes, or I'd be like dying. And so I had that for a number of years, and the guy got rid of all that. And then when I went to their office the first time, you know, behind the counter, there's all the vitamins they sell. I thought, yeah, here we go. You know,
oh, yeah.
Quack City. You know, they're pushing their vitamins. But I decided I'm going to give the guy a try. Well, I'll do whatever he says to do because I'm hurting. I'm hurting so bad, I'm just going to give my life over to him, you know, like Jesus. whatever he says to do, and I have. And since then, I've been buying the same vitamins that I'm supposed to, and I get them on
online.
I get them online, Amazon, all that stuff. But he really wasn't charging me that much more than I could even get them online for. They're just hard to get if you're not a doctor's office. So I did whatever he said to do and the treatments and stuff, and he straightened me out. I'm walking around today pain-free. So, something, you know, they do something good.
Yeah.
Now we got to talk Martha into it.
Martha certainly
has to go.
Yeah, Martha's all screwed up. And
have to say, I was disappointed in the Mayo Clinic with my heart.
Right.
You know?
Really? Oh, before I go off that, I went to my regular doctor because I was in so much pain before I went to the chiropractor. Or no, I went to the chiropractor, and he started helping me, and I was doing good. But I had already made an appointment with my regular doctor, who then let me see a neurosurgeon or whatever. Mm-hmm. One of those guys that works on your back, mm-hmm. Neurosurgeon. And I went to the neurosurgeon, and the guy says, well, if not now, I'll be seeing you someday, because I can see you're all messed up. And he may be right. But all they want to do is go in and fuse and remove and, you know,
right.
They want to work on you. They want to give you the knife. They want to go in that way. They're ready to go. That's how they make their living.
Well, since Chrissy had the car accident,
she
isn't able to dance or do anything because of her.
Bad. Now, how about the Mayo with your heart? What was the deal on that?
Mayo.
All right, we're going to be recording, so watch what you say.
Also, we got to talk about your dad was baseball.
Yeah, here we go.
My aunt, we would go.
Is this all right, Joanne?
Have to go down the field, and there was a little hollow there between two hills, and we'd go back in there to go to the bathroom.
Really?
In the weeds and the grass and stuff.
Did it ever? There wouldn't snow down there.
Pile, you had to watch because you didn't want to step in somebody else's.
Oh, no.
Why wouldn't you have an outhouse?
I have no idea. Maybe because nobody needed one. They didn't think.
Man, that is really primitive.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable.
Well, at least you had a barn.
Yeah, but that's pretty primitive.
And then my aunt Rose, my dad's aunt, my dad's brother's, my dad's father's sister, Rose. She never got married. And so
Rose Henson.
Yeah, Rose lived with them, my grandma and grandpa. And so she would babysit with us sometimes when they went away. Mm-hmm. And once we looked up there on the refrigerator and we saw some chocolates in tinfoil. And so when Aunt Rose was there, we said, we want candy. We want that. Candy. She said, what candy? And of course she couldn't read. And it was just wrapped in foil.
Oh no. I see where this is going.
And she got it down.
You haven't figured it out yet, have you?
Third it for us. Give each one of us a third of what there
was.
She
got nothing?
No, she didn't take any.
Really?
And so in a few hours we were running outside because she had given us X-lax.
She didn't know that.
She didn't know that.
It wasn't.
I remember her sitting there.
It's really more like bitter chocolate, though, isn't it? X-lax, if I remember it right, isn't like a Hershey bar. It's more like a baking chocolate.
But it was chocolate, so.
And she was just rubbing her hands. Lord, I've killed my babies. I've killed my babies. Very few of us poop ourselves to death, but she thought we were going to.
You have to go. Well, Elvis did. Elvis did. He was on the throne when he left.
You could have had a colonoscopy after that.
It was terrible. But anyway, we got over the X-lax. And Rose is up there at New Liberty. And we always take flowers to Rose.
Oh, good.
And my grandma and grandpa, I bought a hook thing that goes like that. So I always take something with a basket or a tire rope so it can hang from.
Well, you got to feel good that the cemetery is a nice cemetery.
Oh, it's nice.
Now, is the one in Georgia is nice?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Oh, because the one we went to with Willamette was nice.
Yeah. Now, that's.
Now, you're talking about the one in Fannin County.
Yes. Yeah. My grandpa and grandma Gillum had the Gillum Cemetery. That's one you went to.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And that was my cousin Linda is the only one in the family that lives there, and she keeps that one up.
Same colors.
She was a fall bush, which was my Aunt Nola's daughter.
Beautiful.
Aunt Nola was my mother's sister.
Okay.
And her daughter, Linda, still lives there, or went back to live there.
So what grade were you when you moved to Michigan?
Second.
Really? So you were like 7 years old.
So was Clara about kindergarten or something? Or?
Yeah.
Wow.
She's 3 years under. Mm-hmm. And
One of the things we got to do is I got to find Willamette and your parents in the 1940 census. Got to do that.
Yep.
They're there somewhere.
I just had graduated from the second grade.
Okay.
And went up there. And we started school. But
early summer or something? Or
we went up, I think so. Anyway, when we got there, they wouldn't take any of us in the grades we were in. Mm-hmm. We all had to go back a year.
Really? Which, you know, maybe that's not all bad, because even if you were in, should have not gone back, it gave you that extra.
Maybe.
Did it bother you at that time, or did you?
No, but as you got older, you realized that you're a year older than your classmates almost. Well, when you're in junior high to high school, I could hardly date anyone in my class because they were all younger. So, in order to look for a date or a guy, I had to look a year above.
Well, people are, you know, they act insulted if their kid gets held back a grade. But in a way, in the long run, it doesn't matter. Except for, like you're saying, a little bit. But it's like, you got a long life ahead, and that extra year of maturity can make a whole difference.
Yeah.
You know,
if, for boys more than girls. But
no, boys.
It was that Slower. Was kind of bad that I had no choice as to who I really dated, and so that's when I met Jimmy. Jimmy was the first boy that I dated, and I dated Jimmy for 2 years. Now Dave met Jimmy.
Who met him?
David, Martha's husband.
You knew him, or David?
Dave, when he went up to the factory, Jimmy was working in the office, and they got to talking, and Jimmy said, Jimmy or Dave, one of them said, I knew, if it was Dave, he said, I knew a husband and wife that worked here in the factory. And Jimmy said, well, I dated a girl whose mother and father worked here in the factory. And Dave said, really? And they said, you know, and they went back and forth, and they decided that it was, Jimmy said, she lived on Bristolwood. And Dave said, well, so did the parents I'm talking about.
And what was your address on Bristolwood?
I don't know. 21.
Come on.
No, I don't know.
And where do you live? I'm supposed to remember this.
And anyway,
if she... Street view, you could go right by and I could have a picture of her.
Yeah. So Dave, Jimmy said, well, I dated a girl whose parents worked here and they got to talking and and it was me. So that's, I thought, interesting.
Yeah, it is.
That Dave met one of my old boyfriends. And I only had three boyfriends. But I went with Jimmy for 2 years.
This is being recorded, by the way.
I know. And then I went with another guy.
Martha, just lay down there.
And he...
Here. I'll never get up.
Oh, you will. We'll catch up. Was ice cold water?
Oh, we're listening to the
you can
Barbara, you interrupted the flow.
That's
go ahead.
Okay.
Another boyfriend. We didn't get a name yet.
No name. Anonymous.
Anonymous. He was in the service.
Oh, really?
And he was, come home on leave, and I met him. Went back, come back, brought me a pink, or was it a yellow polka-dotted bikini?
Oh, yeah.
Because that was the song that was so popular. Mm-hmm. My dad said, you're not wearing that thing, and he got rid of it. Mm-hmm. But anyway, he brought it to me.
He had motives.
He said, I got it, and I've never seen you in it. And I said, I never will. My dad got rid of that. So anyway, he brought it from Europe, you know. That's before we were wearing bikinis. So we wore two-piece, but not bikinis. So I got that.
You never had a bikini, didn't you?
Yeah, you bought me one.
Man,
Think about it.
Alternative interior.
He was a real good-looking guy. I mean, real good-looking. I went to my girlfriend's wedding, and I served cake for her. So he said he'd pick me up, and it was out in Rankin. And I didn't know if he could find the hall or not, but all of a sudden I was standing there with my back to the door, and one of the girls said, oh, my God, a boy just walked in the door. And he's the best-looking man I have ever seen in my life. Mm. And it was kind of nice to turn around and say, oh, that's my date. And and we went out for a while, but he was going out. He wanted to go out west. And I've always thought that I could see him in movies maybe or something, but I've never seen him that I know of. And... and then I started dating Ken after that. Mm-hmm. And I dated Ken for 2 years.
What was your first date with Ken?
My first date with Ken was, you sure you're ready for this? First of all, we met Ken and Gary. Gary was Ken's friend. And Gary was...
Gary Lattimore? No. That's what I'm thinking.
He was very tall, and Ken, you know, was only about, 5'11", maybe 12, I don't know. Anyway, Gary was quite a bit taller, and when we met them at the varsity, and they wanted us to go someplace, so we went bowling. Us in our car and them in theirs.
Did you have a girlfriend and with you then?
I had two girls. I had Willamae and my girlfriend Beverly. Mm-hmm. And we went bowling with them, with Ken and Gary and Hans, I think was his name. I'm not sure. And anyway, Beverly liked Ken. Gary liked me, and Willamae got Hans. And so anyway, we went bowling, and then Ken asked Beverly out, and they went out a couple of times, and Gary asked me out a couple of times, and we went out. And so Beverly and was at my our house, and they were going to pick us up and go out. Well, Gary was driving, so Ken got out of the car and got in the back seat, you know. So we talked it over, Bev and I, and she says, you know, Gary's taller than Ken, and you're the shortest one, so the shortest one should be with the shortest one, and the tallest one with the tallest one. So we just went out and got in the car. She got in the front seat with Gary, and I got in the back seat with Ken.
Okay.
So they had no choice. I mean, you know, what were they going to do? So Ken never asked me out again for a long time. Mm-hmm. Months and months. And then I sent him a announcement of my graduation from high school. And when I did, Mid made him call me.
Ah, so Grandma Ward did it.
Mid said, you are not going to, who is this from? And he said, oh, some girl I dated. And she said, well, you will be polite and you will call her and congratulate her.
Really?
And thank her for sending the card. And so when he did, he asked me out, and that started our dating.
So she not only saved our lives from smoking, she introduced you to Ken.
Right.
Indirectly. No, she didn't introduce, but...
it was a turn in... If she hadn't done that,
right.
Then it wouldn't have happened.
That's right.
It's like Viola, you know?
So he kept asking me out then, and we just seemed to... like the same thing.
So was he out of school already, or was
he was going to Ferris.
Oh, he was going to Ferris. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Big college man. I thought that was cool. That I was going with a big college man.
You were married during the time he was at Ferris.
Yes.
Which meant that you moved up to Ferris.
That's right. We lived there a year.
Really.
And we tried to get married housing. Mm-hmm. And we couldn't get into it. Mm-hmm. And we lived in a little trailer at a trailer park outside of town. It was 8 foot by 40 feet. Mm-hmm. So it had a bedroom and a living room and a kitchenette in between that you kind of walked through to go to the bedroom and living room. Mm-hmm. And I worked before then at the Ferris store. And so I had some...
In Flint.
And I had some pretty nice clothes that I had bought because I got a discount on them. I get 25% off. And so I had bought some pretty nice clothes, and we went up there. Well, Ken did the laundry once while I was working at the drugstore up there. I got a job in the drugstore, and I was working at the drugstore. And so George had... bought us that, Ken, that car, and that's what we were using, that 55 Chevy.
Hmm. 56.
56 Chevy.
I love it.
And Ken come by the store where I was working, and he said, I'm going to take the car for a ride.
Wait, who'd you get the car from?
Your dad.
No.
Yes.
The 56 Chevy.
Yes.
From my dad?
Your dad bought it for us.
Oh, okay.
So we'd have a car, huh?
Okay.
So we'd have a car.
Bought
and
that.
Ken said, I'm going to take it for a ride, see how the roads are. Mm-hmm. And so I was standing there in the drugstore, and I was looking out the window, and I said, that car that they're towing there looks just like our car, same color and everything. And the other girl said, really? And I said, yeah. And about 30 minutes, Ken come in and he said, I got some bad news for you. And I said, the roads are pretty bad, huh? He said, yeah. He said, I got other bad news. I stopped behind this man that stopped in the icy, but the man behind me didn't stop.
You know? That frame over the back wheel on the driver's side, it was crooked. It had been smushed.
Uh-huh.
I'll be darned. I always wondered about that.
Now you know.
Yeah.
He was a smushy.
Yeah. He was in between the two. And there, and I said, you mean that was our car they towed by? And he said, yep, that was it. So he said, I have a...
No insurance. Back then, maybe no insurance?
I don't think so. And he said that he had a had us a ride home. So we would go home, and we would take your mother's car for 2 weeks. And we'd come back and get my mother's car for 2 weeks. And that's the way we would do it, you know, until fairly close to graduation. And then we went down to... Broughton, and one of Ken's friends' dad owned an Oldsmobile dealership, and we bought that O's from him then. And he...
Oh, that 64 O's?
Yes.
What a car.
And he took our payments. He delayed our payments for us.
Well, I wonder...
Till Ken got out of school.
Who had the 56 then? Because the 56... didn't show up for a while. I didn't get that until I was closer to, or did I? Maybe that I got the 56 from Ken. He gave it to me.
Oh, so this was around, when did Ken graduate? In 64 or 65? When were you married? What year were you married?
I can tell you.
51 years ago.
Hang on, just a minute.
They just had their anniversary.
Here, yeah. Just a minute. Here, you're talking to the choir here. I can tell you in a second.
The car had an accident.
Yeah.
You were married August 29th, 1964.
So this would have been
in Flint,
65.
Genesee, Michigan, probably at Calvary Methodist.
Yes, we were. Jackson was the minister.
Reverend
Jackson.
By the way,
Snowgren or something. Versus some other place.
Why did we what?
Choose that church versus...
That was the church that Mid had gone to?
Yeah, I know that's where she went, but wouldn't you have gone?
My parents went to different churches because they weren't...
Probably different hours.
They were nights and they...
Okay. Were they of different faiths? I mean, did they have different...
they were Baptists.
They were Baptists because that was the Liberty Baptist down in...
Yeah.
In the town.
Right.
What's the name of that town?
Mineral Bluff.
No, Mineral...
Bluff.
Is that Georgia?
Yes.
Okay. What's the one that Willamette, that town where... Cemetery?
That was in Kentucky. Right. And that was Cumberland, Kentucky.
Cumberland.
Where was Willamette? She was married up there too, someplace. Probably.
Yes. Uh-huh. Same church.
Oh, did she get married after you?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
A year later.
It was the same church, okay.
We're surprised that Larry's brother, he's a personable guy.
Yeah,
God.
We enjoyed talking to that guy.
Yeah, Randy.
Yeah,
both of them.
What a surprise that guy was.
Uh-huh. Randy and Carol are nice people.
Yeah, they are.
And we have to admit, we enjoyed talking to Larry. He sat at our table. And it was old Larry. Same old Larry.
And you know, Randy and Carol. Carol's had cancer and beat it.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And she beat it with her diet.
Who's this?
Carol.
Larry's
sister-in-law.
Randy, and we talked to the wife.
Really?
And there was a point, I think, where they did kind of say that she had gone through something. They didn't go into it too much, but...
Robert, Larry, and Willamette.
So then when Clara got married, where did she get married? Some other place.
She got married at the Catholic Church because Bill was Catholic.
Okay.
And so Bill, Randy and Carol, I just have Carol. I don't have her last name. But
Well, that would be Lewis.
Yeah, but I meant I don't have her maiden name. Yeah, I got him. Randy, Wayne, Lewis. It's one of those things that if you fill out for everyone, you'll end up with every human on earth. And I'm like sometimes I'll kick myself. I'll say, for the last half an hour, I've been digging up people that are so far from my lineage. It's like, but I enjoy it, you know.
Carol, I don't know. They live in Crossville.
They still do, right now.
Mm-hmm.
In what town? Down there somewhere, huh? Crossville.
Tennessee.
Yeah, he'd been in the military, I remember.
Yes, yes. Randy's been in the military. Larry was in the military.
He was.
Yes.
What did he do in the military?
Larry?
What branch?
He was in the
Army.
Airplanes, wasn't it? Or no, one
airplanes? Uh-uh. No? Army? Where? I think all three of them was in the Army.
Because I'm at the point where...
They had three brothers?
No, Carol.
Oh, she was in the Army, too. Oh,
no, that's... no, wait a minute here. We got Larry. He was in the military, right?
Right.
Larry.
Army. France.
In France?
Really? They were over there.
France.
Huh. My goodness.
Because I'm about ready. What I do is I sign up for the military record thing, and they got a special now. It's usually like $80, and I think it's on special for $50. For a year's worth. You know, Ancestry gets you coming, they get you going. But anyway, I'm about ready. I'm going to sign up for it. And what I can do is I can dig into it then and find out what unit he was in and all that stuff.
And Carol and Randy, too.
Okay, Carol was... Wait a minute here. There's Randy. Wait a minute here. Where are we? We're
Larry's brother, Randy.
Yeah.
And wife, Carol.
And his wife. She was in
the
military.
They were both in the military.
Oh, okay. Hold on here. Okay. So both Randy and Carol were in the...
Okay, now they have a daughter and two sons.
Yeah, I remember them.
Do you know their names?
Yeah.
Oh, I got them.
I don't have them.
There's Jason, Joel, and...
Shannon. Shannon lives in Alaska. Hmm. Shannon's
she lives now.
Go visit someone or head visit.
Now this might be a coincidence, but she married a guy whose last name was Pickle. Do you know his first name?
No, I do not.
She lived in Alaska.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's all I have.
Probably mentioned.
I didn't know that was the last name.
Or did you research it and find it?
Well, I have it on here. Mm-hmm. Lives or lived?
Lives.
Lives now in Alaska.
A-L-A-S-K.
He was from Alaska, and his family was from Alaska, and they had, I understand, a farm or a ranch or something in Alaska.
Yeah, well, all I have is his last name, and it's Pickle. But what you can do, you'd be shocked. I mean, right away, all these people that are on Facebook and all that, they have no clue that they've given their life story away. Yeah. But if I go Shannon Lewis Pickle, probably her Facebook will pop up. Or I'll go in this whitepages.com, and I'll say, I'm looking for someone, Shannon Pickle, who lives in Alaska. Well, how many Shannon Pickles live in Alaska?
She lives in...
There's one.
She lives in...
like Fairbanks?
Fairbanks.
Oh, Fairbanks.
Fairbanks. Okay, let me put that down.
I think.
I'll find it.
Big town. Is that the biggest?
Probably.
Well, sounds big. But...
Yeah. She lives there. That's where we landed. And I wanted to go see her.
Oh, okay.
Ken would not.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well...
Hunt for somebody we didn't know. You know? Mm-hmm. But that was one of my things I wanted to do when I went, was look up Shannon, and I didn't get to. Shannon is a real cute girl, but those boys were absolutely two of the best looking boys I think I've ever seen.
Well, Larry and Randy are pretty good looking.
They don't even have a slight look to them as far as those boys. But they,
you mean
they,
Randy's kids.
Uh-huh.
Really?
And Randy went to a religious college, and so did she when they got home, and they got very, what do I want to say, religious, but they were like fanatically.
It's pretty devout then. I mean, they lived their life big time.
Well, they didn't work that much, so they didn't have much in their younger years. Mm-hmm. And they come one time to my mom and dad's with the kids, all three kids, because Larry was going to be there. And so we went there from Michigan. All of us was at my mom and dad's. And they come there over Easter, and we all had baskets for our children, and they had no baskets. So Larry, my mother found some baskets down in the basement that she had, and Larry rushed into town and bought candies and the paper to go over them, and maybe a couple of animals to go in them, and fixed it all up for them so that when they got up Easter morning, they had as good as our kids all had. And we all took a little bit out of ours, and we made sure that they couldn't tell any difference in the baskets that much, you know, and with my mother's help. And anyway, they stayed and stayed and stayed. Mm. And pretty soon my dad said to Larry, when is Randy's planning on leaving? Did they have plans, you know? And Larry says, I don't know, I'll ask him. And Randy said, he went and asked Randy, and Randy said, oh, we can't leave. We don't have any gas left. And we don't have any money to buy gas.
Oh, my God.
And so,
life was like, hey, so what, you know?
Yeah, I mean, he was just so flamboyant about it, you know. So what, you know? And here he had three kids. And so he was just so...
This is Randy.
Randy. And he was just so relaxed about it, like, you know, so what? So Larry helped make the baskets for the kids and stuff. And then we had, you know, that. And so Dad was feeding them, you know. Mm-hmm. And when Randy said he had no gas, you have never seen anyone go out in the garage and find some gas cans like my dad did.
This will get you way down the road, right? The more gas, the better.
Dad went out there and filled the tank as full as he could with, I think he had a couple, three gas cans, you know, that he would use. And he went and siphoned some out of his tank. And anyway, he didn't want to hear the no gas thing. And then he went and gave Randy $20 and said, anytime you want to leave, I just want to know that you have a little bit of gas. And then here's $20 for more. But you're welcome to stay here as long as you want to, if this is what you want, you know. And Randy said, no. And, you know, he's not bad looking. Randy isn't.
No, I thought they were.
But if a guy doesn't have a job lined up, I mean, where do you go? I mean, talk about faith. I mean,
yeah.
You know, like, wow.
Randy went and bought, when he was in California, he went to the junkyard and bought an old car, and the guy sold him a couple parts to go in it at the junkyard, which were all used, and he put the thing together as well as he could and drove it out of the junkyard and drove it from California to Tennessee from the junkyard. And he just had the luck of a...
Never thought a thing of it.
Never thought a thing about it. Where, golly, Ken wouldn't go any place unless he had enough money for us to eat and stay, you know.
Well, it's like up north, you know, they got that club tractor. But I'm thinking, you know, if I go to use that club tractor, I'm in the middle of the woods there on some road trying to get it going. And if that thing stops, Now what do I do? And you know,
I
give Ken a lot of credit because it's like my mind is always thinking the worst.
But see, Ken never goes and uses the club tractor by himself. I always go with him.
You do when he
on the four wheeler.
You do, okay.
And I ride behind him.
Well, I'm just thinking though, even if you walk back to the cabin, here you got that thing in the middle of the woods. Now what do you do? How do you get it back to the garage?
You know what you would do? You would go cut some wood and build a little barn to go over the tractor.
But I don't know. But, yeah, I always go with Ken. I always ride behind him wise.
Okay, that's a good idea.
I go up and down the hill. I go around. And that's how I got stuck out there in that low spot on that one trail. And I had to make me a way to turn it around. And that's one time I stepped...
You mean on that new trail? Yeah, I know where that is. Where the floods?
The one, yeah.
The one to the right, yeah.
Where it goes down. It's not a new trail, is it?
This isn't the one just as you're going past the little clearing to go up the little...
No, it's up there on top of the hill. Goes back in.
Okay. Oh, well, the top part's all right, but the south part of that, where you come around the south part, or if you go in the south part, that's where it was really... wet in there.
Well,
and I don't think he had got. Did you get through it once that time or not at all? Well, for one,
no,
thing,
it was okay when I was up there.
You cut the tree out.
Well, we both got through, but our machines went way down in.
It's really.
And we were scared to go back through it.
Yeah. Usually, you would just go.
It's not quicksand, but it's some real muck, and it can be. Yeah.
I told him next time we go, I put a basket on the front of mine this time. Because it didn't have a basket before.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And he's got the basket on his, and I said, the next time we go out that way, we're going to take some sticks of wood so we can throw down in the muck.
I think
or
just,
rocks.
Just not go that way, you know, plan.
Well, once it dries, then you're okay, but it's just a low spot.
Yeah,
it's actually probably a dry creek bed, and that the water goes right through there. There's no hope.
I think it's kind of from one swamp. To the
yeah,
other swamp type thing.
Well, they're not in the. I guess I must have searched for them before, but Willa Mae and your parents are not in the 1940 census. I cannot find them. And I had looked probably before.
Okay.
Cumberland, Kentucky, they're not there?
Nope. Well, a lot of people got missed. I would imagine 5% of the people never got on a census. I just.
Really?
For whatever reason. Didn't answer the door. Or they were on the move somewhere. Who knows? But
well,
they should have, because, I mean, Willa Mae.
She was born there in town.
She was born in February, so it should have been on the census. And I looked for Willa Mae, and now we decided Willa Mae, I've got her as, I just have one. You said that's really two names, though, right? Is
yeah.
It Wille?
Mae.
And then space, Mae.
Are you saying that Wille?
Is her first name.
Really? Oh,
Willa.
Okay,
now we talked about it. Do you want me to officially change yours or just... Because right now I just got you as Joanne one thing.
No, my name is J-O-E,
you want,
Joe.
Okay.
And then I have A-N-N for middle name.
Okay. J-O-E?
Yep, and that's on some records. I've seen that.
Oh, so both the Willa Mae and the Joanne.
Yeah. Anne is my middle name, and Mae is her middle name.
I see, okay.
And Clara's is Jean.
That's my
name. Was there a hyphen between yours then?
Nope.
No, you wouldn't put a hyphen.
Joe, space.
My sister's name is Mae, too. But it's Dorothy Mae.
Well, a lot of them. There's a Mae, M-A-E, and there's a Mae, M-A-Y.
We were each named after one of my dad's girlfriends.
Really?
Now, your dad and your mother
did
had no middle name that you know of.
My, had more kids?
I don't know, but my mom said...
Make it a cup of coffee. Half a cup.
My mother said...
Tell you what, I'll put this... Take this over on the thing.
You can name the children.
I got to pee and then get coffee.
You can name the children whatever you want to. And when we were born, each one of us he could only think of names of girls that he had dated. He couldn't think
sure.
of her.
Well, that makes sense.
Or name us after our family, you know. Mm-hmm. And so he named us after each one of his girlfriends that he'd had. I don't know if they were in California or if they were in, you know.
That rug that was on there fell down on the floor, Barb, that was on the back of that chair.
There's my earring I was looking for.
What is this? Oh, your earring. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, dear. Good thing you saw that. Oh, it's a blanket.
Yeah. It's a bird.
Oh, that's pretty. I like that.
I took it off because couldn't find the other one of them.
You were going to go over your dad when he played baseball.
Yeah. So I never knew that. He was a pitcher
for A-team. But what time was that? Before he went to California?
Before he, I don't know if it was before or after, but it was before they got married.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And he was a pitcher. Mm-hmm. Short guy, you know. And when he, you know, Kelly was young, and when my kids were young, and he told me what to do to help them in baseball, and I just thought it was an old man talking. You know what I mean?
Right.
I never knew he was a pitcher in an A team.
Hmm.
Nobody ever told me that until he was gone, and I found that out.
Hmm.
So he told me, he said, you go up there with two of your trees. It's pretty close together. You know, we had a whole bunch of pine trees out back. And he said, go up there with a couple of pine trees close together and take you a tar and have Ken tie that tar between those two trees at the height that you would want a ball to go through.
Oh.
And then let that boy pitch that ball through that hole, and he'll learn to be a pitcher.
Okay.
And we never did that because, to be very truthful, I thought, crazy thing to do. I'm not going up there and doing that.
Uh-huh.
And then when I found out after my dad passed that he had been a pitcher on an A team, I thought, crazy Joanne for not doing what he told her.
Now, what state would he be in? What county? What state?
For what? Macon, Georgia.
Macon. M-A-C-O-N. Georgia, right?
Yep.
Minor league?
Uh-huh.
Oh, it ain't gonna...
So who ended up telling you the story later?
Wilmay.
Oh, okay. She knew. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Wilmay knew.
Wouldn't it be fun to see his name on a roster?
I see his name on a brick when I go to the coal mines, which I think is wonderful because they have what they call the wall of a brick. And they took each person that had ever worked in the coal mines.
Really?
In that town. And
a tribute to them.
You bought them.
It's a doorbell.
You bought them, and then they made a museum. So they used the money to make a museum out of the big store.
Hmm.
You know, the mines own the big store, and the mines own the grocery store, and the theater, and the post office, and the hospital. So they were all done in the same brick, and they're all there today. And we had that Wilmay's memorial in behind the big store.
Well, hello there.
Howdy.
Hi, honey.
Hi.
And how was golf?
Well, very tiring, but the first nine was all right, and the last nine was really
bad for an experience.
Dave spurred up a little bit, but let me save the corner chair for you.
Well, I've been talking my head off to Bob.
Oh. Okay.
And Mr. Microphone.
Are you speechless now?
No, she's
oh, no,
on.
No.
Did you take your insulin medicine this morning?
Yes,
I did.
Okay, well, that's good.
Yeah.
I put in another call to the attorney now that I can bother.
For some of us, lunch was garbage.
What was lunch? I mean, what did the attorney?
Yep.
He hasn't called me back yet.
Did you have any people in there wanting the money from you, Cindy's?
No, it was good. You
didn't have it was nice.
Actually,
it was good lunch.
Pretty nice.
You got a lot of derelicts going in there.
No.
I could have worn shorts on.
The waitress was actually a pretty good gal.
Went to a different corner.
Yep, oh, that's good. Nice.
Every time I've gone in there, they've had some real...
No.
Well, actually, there was a retired policeman that was in there.
No, we had fun in there.
That was nice.
He was a private eye. He works as a private eye now.
Oh, I thought he was a policeman.
I had hamburger fries.
It was very good.
Delicious. I had breakfast in there. It's not bad. In there, a couple
That's
of
what he ate was breakfast.
Okay.
Called garbage.
Called garbage?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're, the thing is running, so I'll ask a couple of questions. And we'll
what thing is running?
The microphone.
To record it.
He's asking me.
So who won? Dave won? Or?
Dave won.
Good, Dave.
He's going to be hard to live
I've been playing quite a bit this year. Kenny hasn't had a chance to play much. So. You don't play, you can't stay consistent.
No, he hasn't, and he doesn't play. Well, he plays there.
Matt and all that are together.
Is this going to be in Joanne's story?
And I don't. I always give people what the information is, and then you can decide if you want it on my records or not.
Oh, you put any records.
Oh, okay, just to speak up in your stage voice.
There's two different viewpoints on this.
I have to go to the little girl's room if you want to wait.
Yes.
How did you reel Dave in?
Well, Dave was working at Bowman Drugs.
You got a little louder.
Dave was working at Bowman Drugstore as a sewager. On Chevrolet Avenue, and Joanne Gash and I, back in the day when it was safe to walk up, to the drugstore, we would take off every night and walk up to the drugstore, and he would make us a soda.
A sodies.
And then we just become acquainted. And then there was like Priscilla Houghton and Dave and Joanne and I and Marilyn, Joanne's sister. We all kind of hung out together, and I remember we used to have New Year's Eve parties.
I had that while I was in the Navy. I come home for one of those one time.
You talk to your version.
So how long before you...
You don't remember your version. Right? You don't remember your version.
Every time I think of your wedding, I feel faint.
Yeah. Wonder why.
Mary, Mother of Jesus, clunk.
Well, our wedding was 45 minutes, and I
remember... Yeah, I was halfway through the beads, and I conked.
And they had to carry you out.
She did.
I don't think they carried me anywhere.
I think I
was just kind of starting to keel a little bit.
A chair got you somewhere. I can't.
And some guy that looked just like Donald Trump.
he probably took over while you were out.
He did.
He had a smoochy
look.
Well,
Grandpa said every time he thought the wedding was ended, then the preacher would start another prayer.
Because he'd get just about half asleep, and then the preacher would wake him up.
I always tell people about your wedding reception, though, that was on you were on the second floor, and there was another reception on the first floor. And after a while, the two started mixing back and forth. And I'm sure my dad was upset because it was like sucking his booze down. You don't remember that? Because it was like the big thing is you'd go down to the other reception.
You remember the name of the place where we had our wedding?
It was on Corona Road.
It was called the Riviera Terrace.
Riviera Terrace on Corona Road.
Had a band.
That's pretty good. I can't remember any of that.
And I know my dad's Grandpa Ward, all he wanted to know was when we're all done, he wanted to have the same number of liquor bottles. They could be empty,
he didn't want him
to go walking. He wanted, we came with 12, we leave with 12. Yeah. That kind of stuff.
Empty or full, that's right. He didn't
want I know the wedding party got
into
champagne. You've
been through that before where he'd seen somebody stealing.
Remember that, Joanne?
Well,
Zach, the wedding party at our wedding got the champagne.
Oh, yeah.
So, Dave, what's your side of the story? She said that she conned you into marrying her. Is that the way it happened?
No. No, I had to ask George for her hand in marriage.
Yes, I'll never forget that.
Did he say maybe? Yes?
Yeah,
he was so nervous.
George was willing to get rid of her. So he said, go ahead, yeah, take her. She eats too much around here anyway, he said.
You say, thank God, finally.
Well, Ken had asked my dad for my hand, and my dad says, if she wants to, that's her decision, but if you ever hit her, I'll kill you.
Oh,
good for him.
Good thing Kenny didn't hit you. He wouldn't be around today.
But he didn't say anything about me hitting Ken.
I noticed Ken had a lot of bruise marks on his arms and stuff. He's been like beat up.
He's all bruised.
Is that what he told you?
No, this is 51 years ago. I have no earthly clue.
Oh. Well, I do.
I cannot remember 51 years ago.
I can't remember yesterday.
Yeah, we can't remember
yesterday. I can.
What did we have to eat today for lunch?
Was I in the wedding? Yeah, I would have been an usher probably.
Yeah, you were out part of the time. But...
No, Ken and Joanne's. I wasn't out.
Oh, I don't know.
And where was your reception?
You were still going to school.
It was at Williams Gun Club.
Yeah. Oh.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
No kidding. Where was that located? What road?
Oh,
Davison Road.
Davison Road heading towards Lapeer.
Oh, who was in your wedding?
Peggy. Willamae, you,
I was in the wedding.
Clara, and me.
Oh my gosh.
Didn't invite Barbara, huh? Well, guess you got to draw a line somewhere.
I didn't know Barbara.
Oh. Barbara wasn't in the picture yet.
Well,
and you wore blue dresses, and they come right down to your knees, and they had an overskirt that you put on that kind of went all the way down to the floor. So if you wanted to dance, you could take the overskirt off.
I don't remember that.
You don't remember that?
No. Williams Gun Club.
In a light blue.
The Calvary Methodist, right?
Yep.
Yeah, Calvary Methodist.
Jackson, Reverend Jackson, right?
Yep.
Well, who did you have, Martha? The same one?
No.
No, we had...
Episcopal
we
minister.
Were Episcopal, and it was down on...
No, no. You were married in St. John Vianney.
No.
Yes.
No, that's Catholic. We were Episcopal.
Where was it then? Where was your wedding?
I swear to God it was St. John Vianney.
Oh, no.
It used to
be. No, Barbara, his sister was married
okay,
in St. John Vianney.
Okay, that's right. So which Episcopal?
I can't remember now because it's gone.
They well, you were
down.
Married there. Come on.
It now is a Jewish synagogue, I think.
I thought they tore it down.
No, that was across the street.
It was by Fifth Avenue, wasn't it? Over on Detroit and Fifth Avenue, yep. Down in one of those streets
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was a big church, a modern church.
St. Michael, well, that's a Catholic church.
No.
No, that was an Episcopal church for a little while. It wasn't there a long time. But.
And what was that, Father Miller?
Father Alex
really?
Miller, I think it was.
Alex Miller.
Okay.
And we would go once in a while to church, and he would stand outside meeting everybody that comes in. So when we came in, he'd throw up his hands, well, look who's here. Embarrassed the heck out
they
of
they missed
him.
Last Sunday, but they're here this Sunday.
Yes. Look who's here.
It's like we went to Lake Harbor Methodist in Muskegon, and there weren't that. It wasn't a small church. It was one of those like, well, where were you last week? You know, that kind of a... If you
close
missed
bit.
A week.
Yeah.
Now our minister doesn't care.
When I go down to Georgia...
He can't see us.
He can't see us. He's
oh. Even now when I go to Georgia, I always say to myself when I get ready to buy a dress to go to wear to church because we have a family reunion on Saturday and then Sunday we go to church and they have a church reunion. Right. So we have two big dinners. Anyway, I always say... Pick up the dress and say, not going in the church this year, huh, Joanne? Because it was definitely not a Baptist dress. And I have to say, Etheridge would say, not going to church this year, so that dress goes. And then I'd pick one up and say, yeah, I can go in church with this. Etheridge would let me go.
Man-made rule. Of crapola.
You know what?
Political correctness.
But that, you know, that's their belief.
Bible, nothing.
No, no.
But it's their belief.
And jewelry and lipstick and all that.
Well, it's like this whole thing with Catholics getting married. They used to allow priests to be married.
And then some pope somewhere like said, no, they
I didn't know what
yeah, and it's like, oh, they get to devote too much time to their family. Let's make them be married to God. And that was a mistake.
Really,
well, they said he just said the annulment.
Well, now he's doing that. You know why? Because they want to bring him back.
Yeah.
Well, they don't have numbers are decreasing in record numbers of every church.
Yeah, Alpena had 3 Catholic churches, and now they're all going to the one.
Four.
Oh,
four to one.
I think it was 3.
And the one that ended up being the surviving church doesn't have as much parking as they should. So you talk about complaining people.
And you know, people aren't leaving their estates to the church like they did at one time.
Our church is really hurt for money. Our church is $11,000
in the hole right now.
And they just okayed, we need a new roof.
$42,000.
They've okayed a $42,000.
See, it's got a flat roof and it roots all the time. So they got to get a roof that's
and
anything you say may be held against you.
And somewhat of a cottage, too. All right, where do you want to start? The drugstore?
Just in a stage, you know, got a little louder.
Meyer was coming to town.
Okay.
And made contact. I can't remember if they solicited in a paper or something, but they were looking for a liquor license for their new store on Pearson Road. Anyway, he contacted some of the Meyer people, and they come to the store and told them they were interested in that and what they would do here for him. And they basically bought him out of all his drugs or whatever. They bought the contents of the drugstore is what they bought.
Including fixtures, right?
Supposedly.
Everything but the building.
Everything but the building, that's correct.
Including the 1 cent machine, darn it.
And they transferred all that up, you know, and I was working up at, when that was sold, then I was out of a job here and I applied maybe to Cook's and then I applied to Meyer's here and figured that Meyer's was my best deal, and it was by far the better deal here. But anyway, the idea was in order to transfer the liquor license, he had to open a party store. This was by state law, and run it for a year.
Yep.
He could transfer the license, but somehow in the law you can't sell it to another individual. There was a little hang up there. So he had the party store at Meyer's for a year, and at the end of 1 year, they come in and run and inventoried everything in there and wrote him a check for the contents and asked him if he wanted to continue as the manager of the party store. And
well, they gave him some training, too, to learn
about
lines.
Well, they gave him training and stuff for them, and actually, I helped him, you know, I was working at Kmart, at Walmart, at Meyer. I was working at Meyer, but I would help him set up the store. I went and lifted a bunch of beer and set up the coolers and stuff like this here when he transferred that. So it was a good deal.
Wonder how old he would have been by that. What year would that have been?
That would have been...
if he was in 1906, he was born.
I think it was 73. I worked for Meyer for 4 years and I left in 77.
73 minus 6.
60, I think it was 73 when he
67.
Sold.
He was 67.
67,
yep. Wow.
Wow.
He lived to be 94, so that's a lot of years from then.
Anyway, he had it time he, you know, got done with the party store, and that was how...
You lived with him how many years, Dave?
About 12.
And then he sold the building, and that happened, really? I didn't know, to a small business. The government was giving small business loans.
But
he got rid of the building.
Left the Fort Wayne plant.
That was the most amazing thing that he got out from under that.
George.
So, and then the lake property.
But he was hard to live with.
We weren't going out there. All of us sort of have left. I mean, and we weren't using the lake property.
We were going out just to mow the lawn.
Yeah, it was work here. And I could have been after Ed died, too. That I don't know.
Oh, really? Oh.
It could have been.
The Wagners died in January. You'd have to look that date up on that.
And they died a week apart. She died and he died a week apart.
Yeah. Exactly, on Saturdays.
Yep. And they were tied. Talk about two people that couldn't live without, you know.
His thought was he was going to sell the...
That's happened more times than
property,
you think.
And then I think he put that money and built the up north.
Yes, he did.
That's when he used the... bathroom and the bedrooms up there.
And some of that furniture went up there, like the that couch.
He thought he wouldn't have to pay tax on the money or something, but it wasn't a primary residence, so he had to, that was a surprise to him, I think, that he had to pay capital gains on the on the cottage here.
You're right.
He thought he could reinvest it, but it wasn't a primary residence, so he...
So he got stung there, and probably really got capital gains.
So he got capital gains. Did you, Leanne put pictures of the
Well, we went by there years ago, and I'd taken some pictures, and really didn't look that, other than that fence between Wagner's, that's the ugliest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
That broke my heart. But
see, they shared a well. I don't know how that works here. See, there was right at the steps going down is where the well was drilled. And then pipes come off both sides into the house, and that's when the pumps for each one of them were inside.
And he had a chunk pump. Oh, I remember that.
Yeah.
It was more irritating than the one up north.
Yeah,
it was a plunger, like a
pistol.
Yeah,
I don't know. The one up north is pretty irritating.
Especially when you sleep in that back bed.
Well, yeah.
Yep.
I'll guarantee you, if you try to flush in the middle of the night, that pump will come on every time.
Every time, yeah. We don't flush here. It gets sort of right time morning comes, but.
If we have someone sleeping in there, you warn them beforehand.
Yeah.
That you're not going to flush it, so it's going to stink in the morning.
Well, did you help? Who helped him move out of the lake?
You're
then?
Going
was
to
you?
Flush.
Because I was over in Muskegon.
Yeah,
I don't think I helped.
Ken
him
and I
anything.
Sleep
I
in there
when
we have
Dave,
to
did
anything.
You help him move up north? His stuff up north.
Well, like moving out of the cottage. Who helped?
Someone else did.
I don't even.
He would have had to have that junk trailer.
Al, I would say.
Maybe Al Wagner.
I would say Al did it.
Al was working, though. He was. He had a day job, you know. Mm-hmm. He wasn't retired.
But Jack and Al helped him. I do believe.
That I don't know if I, because we had the beds up, you know, we had two beds, and there's one remaining.
Yep.
But both beds went up there from the lake.
Mm-hmm. Well, that couch that's in the front window, that was belonged to Johnny's, and he donated it to the lake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Which I've got a table
the
in,
green
the
one
in my computer out. Room. I've got a table that came from Citizens Bank Northwest that Johnny had.
Well, we had another
I have a set of banks that are bookends that have the balls on top.
Really?
And says the bank on the sides of it.
Take a picture of some of that stuff. Like, I don't ever want something.
Ken
I just want a
throw
good,
it away
I like a
I
good picture of stuff.
Go in there every now and then and hug it and
up there, Bob,
say no.
It would have had to be.
And you wouldn't have had anything to do with getting the crap out of the drugstore then either. I mean, that was pretty much, they came
that,
in
they
and they owned
that,
it.
And then Dad went after that, he had trouble retiring, so he would go back to the drugstore and fool around after it was closed. I think we closed it to me, I thought it was September 13th or 15th.
Wow.
Party store hadn't opened. Myers wasn't built yet.
Really?
Yeah. So.
So the stuff was just laying there.
No, I wasn't. I misspoke. It was built because they did transfer all that stuff.
Yes.
But Meyer transferred that stuff. And they made a horrible mess. They didn't take like the super plenumans. They didn't take some stuff. And I went through and got all the
bunch
old
of bottles.
Oil bottles with corks in them, you know, the real, real old stuff I've got.
And then I got really mad at him because he had a bottle of Coke, you know, but I didn't want the seal broken on it.
Like short for cocaine or
yes.
Coke?
It was cocaine, and it was a whole little bottle about that high. It wasn't huge, but...
So how does it taste?
I said, don't open that bottle because it's got that seal on it, you know.
I didn't open any bottles.
Yes, you did. You opened that bottle and you poured it down this John to ask the fishies.
I don't remember that.
Yes, you did. I didn't want it open because it was sealed. And you said if anyone broke in here, they could get a hold of that and we could be arrested for having drugs.
It's a controlled substance.
Well, he's right. Yeah.
And so he flushed it down the toilet.
Anyway, I should have taken more, but I didn't. I got some of the old books here. I got his old USP that he studied out of. out of the drugstore, and I got the all the oils and some of the chemicals that.
Would he have that sticker on all of them?
Some of them. I got another case.
How about the mortar thing?
And
sometimes if I'm ever around there, I'd like to set them outside and photograph them and then put them right back.
And I have some books that I got from the bookshelves. I have Roy Rogers.
From where? Growing up?
Your mother's.
Really?
And so she did have books there.
She's got the little black Sambo book.
I have the little black Sambo.
I've got the disc here that.
Little Black Sambo.
Oh, the Viewmaster?
Viewmaster with Little Black Sambo.
Tom's got the booby cup.
And I can remember.
The booby cup.
In our front yard, we had a Little Black Sambo sprayer. Now, that'd be worth millions of dollars.
Never remember that.
He'd connect the hose to it, and he would go like that.
And you got the Little Black Sambo book.
Now you could paint Mexican colors.
No, I had the Viewmaster.
Oh, the Viewmaster. Okay, I wonder what happened to that little book.
Barb said she had it, don't
no,
you?
No, Barbara growing up had a Little Black Sambo.
Oh.
She's got her own book.
How do you know I had one?
Because I remember it.
I don't remember it, and he does. How
you
can
still
he
have
remember
guarantee
what
it.
I had when I was growing up?
We got it somewhere. She's never thrown anything away in her whole life. She's probably got her first diaper.
Cloth one?
It better be a cloth one.
She used to have to wash dishes.
No, we used to have like a kid's playland upstairs in the attic. It was all her old kitchen stuff, the metal, the stove, the Betty Crocker this.
Yeah, but I think I finally got rid of it, didn't I?
Well, I think we did.
So does that cover all this stuff here, the lake and the
lake,
Now, has anyone got any intentions to use their land in Sunset Hills? Because I don't.
I have no.
And I would gladly give my lesson.
But I don't want to sell them either. I just
let's leave them vacant.
I don't want to
sell them. Just leave them vacant. We're just gonna
leave them alone.
Give them a little space.
Yep.
Leave them alone. I don't know where
she
I want
to
be.
She wants to go to North Georgia. We're gonna cremation.
I don't know. I may go to Kentucky.
Oh, with Willamette.
With Willamette.
No.
Yeah, but there isn't a lot of parking.
The thing of
it
is. Well, the thing of it is.
Concern is it's
the view is good, yes.
Nobody will go with my parents to see my parents and my grandparents, my great grandmother, and things, people that I remember. Nobody's going to go there unless we go there, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's why Wome went there hoping that her children and maybe her grandchildren would come to visit now and then, and that would be.
But it's private. It requires donations to keep it up here, and sooner or later, the one that's keeping it up is one of her cousins. So
that's
she's
kind of what happened to Bristol Road.
Old.
They had an unsung hero doing Bristol Road, and then that person died off, and they weren't getting paid hardly anything. And then, well, the next guy, it's a job, and once ever it's a job, then some of these old tombstones that are. Early 1800s, the mower clips them and they crack. It's
at least you're
getting
mowed.
Help.
I don't think this will even get mowed. When they run out of money, I think the weeds are going to take it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Linda has that mowed.
You aren't going to have the interest of anybody and the funds to do this.
Well, thing. I'm going to leave some money to it.
Yeah.
Well, not enough for forever.
Right. It's not a perpetual
thing. Well, I'm hoping that other people will. Take the hint, and the money will be put into an account for.
Not going to happen.
Well, it's unfortunate, but like our great grandparents up to Chesilning, they were in that mausoleum that would have been Hattie's parents. And they paid their money, and they were going to be in that mausoleum forever. And the mausoleum went bust in the Depression, and then it went years and years with nothing. And then finally, even in the early 70s, they were still putting people in there. And you know the whole story that I'd done the whole cemetery. We photographed it, and then I went inside and photographed it. They got a plaque now on the outside of the mausoleum.
2 hours.
And the plaque has all the people that are inside it.
Wake her up, Kenny.
Good.
Did you have a tickler?
You know.
But right now, they're not letting anybody ever again in that
mausoleum. I can just see Sunset Hills. I can just see the bookkeeper running off with the funds and it going broke.
Yeah. I didn't think the last time they were there.
There's no credibility in this thing, and they won't.
Well, you'd hope there would be a board or something, but it from what I dealt with that that flower pot thing, it was more of a, it's a job, you know.
We had, I don't think that cemetery was kept up as good last time.
Yeah, but people were seeing
we had
things,
a cousin that wanted to put a fence around our cemetery there in Kentucky.
And who's keeping it? And, you know, and
somehow,
I mean, Bernie Madoff,
somebody didn't want her to do it.
And they could too. It's
or wouldn't let her do it. And that was the worst thing ever. It needs a fence so bad.
Oh, where Johnny and Evelyn are, or Johnny is? Out in Grand Blanc there.
Yeah, that's not
that cemetery is going to hell.
Oh,
it's
man, complaining on Facebook.
Upkeep is really going downhill, and there, you know, I know the time we were there one time, there was like these great big mower. You know how they got some of these big mowers with the big wide stubby tires, and there was all muddy stuff all over. You know, the muddy tracks all over the tombstones, and it's like that's even people are complaining that one's gone to hell.
So did they have a fund or something?
Oh, you know, everything. But Johnny's there. Evelyn will be there. Mike is there. Clarabelle. Marguerite, George. And George's second wife. And who else? Oh, a bunch of them. Malvin's probably there.
Where is Marion?
Marion and George are there.
Oh. Okay. Yeah, it's been the last couple years that it's went downhill.
And then I guess at one point Aunt Evelyn, they must have got to her and they says, oh, you know, you really, when you go visit Johnny, you ought to have something to sit on.
No, I think she wanted to.
Well, she wanted it, but I'm sure she got a salesman talked her into it. And I don't know what the charge was, but I have a feeling it was a lot. And Leanne is, well, it's like really mad at her mother for doing that. She couldn't really say much, but it's like
a bench.
Yeah, wasting the money on
a
bench.
Black
so if you ever want to see bench. Johnny's out there, just go look for the bench near the road. And there it is.
It wouldn't be more than $100, $150.
No, it was in the thousands.
I'm thinking
really?
10 to 15 maybe.
If it's marble,
they really stuck her.
If it's cement, it's 150. If it's a marble bench, it's
big
bucks here.
Tombstones aren't cheap either. We bought one for her.
She thought the grandchildren could have used the money versus the
bench. That's Rhonda bought.
For Barbara's grandfather, we spent what, $600? And it's just
a minimum.
It's just one this high and this wide.
Rhonda bought that one from Willamay, so I called my kids and I said, listen, you couldn't come to Aunt Willamay's thing. I realized that, you know. Memorial, and it would have cost you what, $600-$800, and they said, yeah, and I said, well, it won't hurt either one of you to send Rhonda $300 then, and they did.
Okay. Well, what we did is we found out her grandfather, George, had never had a tombstone, and it was in a depression that he died in like 34.
Nobody would have had money.
And nobody had money, and there was the wife, and then there was the spot for George and no tombstone. And so we were out there and we had the cemetery gal. She came over and she ran a rod down and says, yep, there's a casket. And so we proved that. And he was supposed to be buried there. The records, his death certificate said he was buried there. So we got him a stone and then we notified her cousins.
We notified cousins, all the cousins. And they
just because we figured we didn't have the right not to. And we said, we're just going to get him a stone. But we wanted to make sure he had everyone's permission. And all of them divvied in $50. So it's like.
More, some more.
Yeah.
Some more.
So it worked.
Martha thinks you're boring. She's falling asleep.
Oh, she's been dozing.
I've been dozing for hours here. I can't keep awake.
Joanne was giving her life story, and Martha was sitting there dozing. So we were talking about Martha for a while. Remember how we were talking about Martha for the longest
time?
Yeah,
for a long time.
And brought
time.
Up all the bad
Martha,
things.
Martha, what year are we at now for Joanne's life?